Wake up, gamers, because you're listening to the Big Think Dimension with Dan and Bob Video Games.
Bob, we've got a job.
Good.
KZ Excellent.
Catchphrase.
And Mr. Feel.
Time to go mobile.
Here on Gigaboots.
God of War 1 is exactly as I remembered it.
Oh, cool.
So it was the desert and nothing else.
It was the desert. The outstanding moments of that, okay? That entire game are the desert. It is much smaller than I thought it was. It is much easier to see in HD on a nice, crisp display.
Yes, that helps for sure.
That helped immensely. And the Minotaur, which is a terrible boss fight. Fun fact, God of War 1 has 3 boss fights.
Yes, and they're every single... they're all bad except for the first one.
Right.
Yeah, the beginning of that game starts out so good and so sober that it's like the whole game would go up at least 1 point if the entire rest of the game was as good as the beginning. Because the beginning has some design chops. The beginning looks incredible. It's got a cool boss fight. And then most of the game is a really weird platformer with puzzle elements and combat rooms that aren't inspired and abilities in combat that doesn't feel that incredible. And all that falls to the wayside, really, when the Minotaur is there and it will take you nearly an hour to beat him because his boss fight design is so broken and terrible.
Yeah, there's like no checkpoint in the boss fight. And the boss fight, even if you're performing optimally, is like 20 minutes at least.
It's tired.
Even as like a kid, well, I guess not a kid because I was 17 when this fucking game came out, because it came out, the first God of War 1 came out in 2005.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
But even back then, I'm like, how is this a great action game? There's no bosses, and the ones they do have are really bad.
Yeah. When it came out and it got 9s and 10s, I was extremely confused. It was very bizarre because. I don't know.
It's like,
man,
a 7th gen game came early, and then the actual 7th gen God of War games are fine, except for Ascension. Maybe
we don't know yet. We'll get
mysteries.
There. We'll solve that mystery eventually, Scoob. But yeah, no, it was really weird hearing them talk like this is the peak of the action game genre, and I had played Ninja Gaiden and Devil May Cry 3, which had been out for a while by this point.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden came out the previous year.
Yeah. It was very bizarre.
Devil May Cry 3 came out earlier that year.
Yeah. It was so weird seeing it get all these praises and reviews. Like, I think it's a neat game.
I didn't even think about, when did the Onimusha 3 come out? Probably before this, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was before God of War.
Yeah.
Don't worry. If you rank it against Western games with action combat, I guess Prince of Persia Warrior Within.
Yeah, I was like, Onimusha
3 was a full year before this.
I figured, yeah.
Yeah, and Onimusha 3 rules. Like, I love that game. I wish they would settle whatever problems they have with Jean Renault and get that game released.
I wish they would port more Onimusha games and not just one. I don't know. It was weird. And it was very delightful. After beating God of War 1 to then 2 days later go into God of War 2, and it was that substantial upgrade that everyone remembered it being.
It became like a full-fledged video game.
Yeah, it's like real.
It was super great. It was like, oh man, we're moving between a bunch of different ideas for areas with themes.
Ooh.
And there are tons of bosses. I think, what was it? Somebody in chat told me the count. I believe it was 16 bosses in God of War 2, as opposed to God of War 1's 3, meaning there are over 5 times as many bosses.
Yeah. And none of them are horrible.
None of them are the Minotaur.
Yeah, the Minotaur. And honestly, that final boss fight's awesome. Just trash.
Yeah, no, that thing was insane because it just became figure out the combo that will work.
Yeah, we've changed your entire moveset and taken away all of your abilities.
Yeah, because for people who don't know, the final boss fight in God of War 1 is you fight Ares by opening the Pandora's box and becoming huge. thus the origin of Much Fun for Jaffe.
Yes.
What was wrong with him? Like, what should we have in the not the getting big part? Not the getting big part. What possesses you and is like, put the worst escort mission in video game history in the middle of the final boss?
Yeah, I don't know.
I completely forgot.
So you're huge and you're fighting Ares, and then Ares just sort of goes, I'm sending you to another phase. And then you just appear in a room with your wife, and you have to defend her from hundreds of skeleton warriors, and you hug her to give her life.
Yeah, they're evil Kratoses, Dan.
They're evil Kratoses. Sorry. I was thinking so much about how sad I was there weren't skeletons in God of War 1, and 2 made up for it.
Yes.
Thank God.
Oh, good. I haven't played God of War 2
failing
at all.
Oh, really?
Failing to protect your family in that scene might result in the funniest fail state I've ever seen in a video game.
Oh, what is it?
Where Kratos just goes, "No, I failed," and falls to his knees. And then there is like one beat before all the dark Kratoses like eviscerate him in like a
Yeah, they just
death
start
bile.
Silly hats only the motherfucker. They just keep whacking him. It's really funny.
God of War 2 has good bosses in it, because I've seen very little of that game aside from Zeus being in it and that intro with the statue dude.
Yeah, God of War 2 has a lot of good bosses in it. But real quick, I wanted to talk about in God of War 1, final boss, you get huge. When you come out of the wife dimension, the big wife dimension,
you
pick up a land bridge that is a sword to fight Ares with it. And they completely changed the combat system. It's now completely different. You have new combos. You have all sorts of other things. The movement feels bad because you're huge. They changed how movement feels because you're big.
Didn't they change the health system? So now it's like a weird momentum gauge.
Yes.
That you have to like max out your momentum against Ares.
Yeah, it's basically a beam battle bar from a Budokai.
Yeah, it's insane.
It was us kind of banging our head against it until I found the secret combo that did just enough stagger damage to him to get him stunned long enough to do a decent amount of hits. And even knowing that, it was like, okay, only use this one combo. Okay, space it very carefully. Okay, dodge like a mother. It was insane. It was intensely not great.
They even give you a block button in this section, and it just doesn't work.
It literally
period.
Does not work. I had to show chat. I'm like, watch what happens. I get owned. Yeah, that was intensely bad. God of War 2, though, really cool. Lots of cool stuff in it. All over the place. It has ideas for soldiers you see in the beginning in the arc they will have in the game. God of War 1 has like one plot idea, and that's the game.
Like, Ares tricked you into becoming his soul soldier and killing your wife.
It's like, okay, how many times can you... Man, this is like the seventh cutscene about this.
It's also God of War 1 super weird because it's like starts out feeling like this is going to be a huge world and you're going to do lots of things.
Yeah, and then you realize somehow the giant desert is 10 feet from Athens.
Yeah, the giant desert is 10 feet from Athens, and the entire game is going to be on top of this one temple that's in the desert.
Oh, yeah. It was let me look up how long our playthrough is, because it's just the vast majority of it is that temple.
Yeah, I think that temple is at least like 70% of the game, maybe more.
It's probably 70.
It might be more.
Because Athens is actually super tiny, and so is the boat that's on the way to Athens.
Yes, it's kind of
the temple is massive.
Yeah,
and lasts forever, and it's quite bizarre, quite bizarre. But yeah, no, God of War 2 is really great in that regard. You know, you go to a bunch of different places. They have different ideas for what sort of puzzles they'll stick in the different places.
You get to ride the Pegasus.
Yeah, they do flying shooter segments. It's very cool. It's like Devil May Cry 1 when you fight the final boss,
right?
Ooh.
But yeah, Bob, looking at this out of an 11 and a half hour playthrough, about 8 hours of that.
Yeah,
is on that temple.
No surprise. That's how I remember it completely.
That's the whole. Yeah, that's also how I remember it. Like even back then, I'm like, am I just gonna be in here the whole fucking game? And
yeah,
and like I told Dan, like whenever you spend the whole game getting like one plot device, it just says to me that the game had a fucked up development and had to be massively truncated. And then it's like, yes, that happened to God of War 1.
Yeah. Okay. So I've worked it out. It's exactly 7 hours somehow. Somehow it worked out to exactly seven.
Okay.
We get there barely past the 3 hour mark, and we finally leave barely past the 10 hour mark. That's insane.
I recall enjoying my time with chunks of God of War 1 when I played it. I think I played it twice.
Okay.
Like once when it was new and then again like sometime later. I go into your stream and I see the part where Bob has to go up the hill that has the flaming rocks.
Yes.
And then they tell you in a dialogue thing, go backward. One of the 8 doors will unlock to progression. And I go, man, I sure excised many bad sections of God of War out of my brain.
Yeah, God of War 1's puzzle, in quotation marks, as far as you can, are sure something.
It has the energy of a GM in a D&D game that's both an asshole and also an idiot.
Yeah.
Check every door. That's the puzzle.
The only thing that was like not as horrible as I remember watching you was climbing out of Hades near the end.
Yeah, that was surprisingly brief, especially considering we're about to play 3.
Yeah, I forgot that even happened in 1 because it's so tiny.
Yeah, because it's so tiny. But I just remembered the fucking visceral hatred in my soul for that tower.
Yeah,
like no, you got touched. Fall all the way back down.
That's still
and
terrible.
Thankfully. For some reason in my head, and maybe they changed it for the HD version, because Bluepoint does that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, there was one of those towers where if you get hit, you die.
Oh,
nothing under the tower.
I also recall something like that, because I was like, you had a really easy time. I guess I was just really, really bad at it when I played it when I was like 14.
They could have just reduced the damage it does in general, because it hardly hurts you when it knocks you off.
Yes, it hard like it. Maybe they were instant kills even.
Yeah,
possible. I don't remember. I just remember there being something about it that is a nightmare.
Yeah, there was just something that felt devastating about climbing that. But you know,
yeah,
it was forever ago. That's old.
I knew going into God of War month it would be weird for our theme months, because I don't think we've ever done a theme month where the first game was the down note. Like, I don't think that's ever happened. Like, Sonic 1, sure, not as good as 2, obviously. Only the only person who would say otherwise is a certified psychopath. But,
yeah, BioShock, like, there's a lot of hype around the first game, even if it might be the worst one mechanically.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still, like, things happening and people are excited to see it.
Right.
Yeah. God of War 1 is like, no, this is just the worst one by a mile, unless Ascension is just terrible.
Yeah, that's the thing. We now have to spend the rest of the month worrying, what if Ascension's worse? Because a couple of people in chat said it was, and I'm scared.
Yeah, that's scary.
That's terrifying. I mean, here's the thing. At the end of the day, we beat God of War 1 back in the day.
Uh-huh.
We didn't beat Ascension.
I hope,
that's worrying.
I hope
it's good. I hope those people in chat are like the people that told you that you would quit Gex 3.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I think that there's a slight possibility that there was just too much other good stuff happening when Ascension came out. You know, it's just like, I don't want to go back and play that.
Also,
I don't want to finish it.
Also, and this blows everyone's mind every time we work out the timeline. God of War 1's 2005 on the PS2. God of War 2's 2007 on the PS2. Which means God of War 3 comes out 4 years into the life of the PS3 in 2010, and God of War Ascension is a 2013 game.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember being insanely late.
Yeah, I never heard... I heard impressions when it very first came out that went, not that it's bad, it's that it's another one of those, and people just don't want to play any of those anymore.
And that's the thing.
I think it probably had more to do with coming out right next to BioShock Infinite, which, by the way, is going to be a comparison you need to make, Dan, once you beat Ascension. They came out within 2 weeks of each other.
Oh my god,
that's intense.
Yeah, the rough part is
God of War, also Gears of War Judgment.
Yeah,
same 2 weeks.
That was the dead zone. Those two games, like. Go on, Bob.
Both that and Judgment are just that situation of they could have been something, but you instead made a prequel that no one cared about.
Yes. Yeah. This at is least your third prequel.
At least BioShock Infinite's its own new narrative.
Right.
Like, we're not getting BioShock 3, which is more 2, which now takes place before 1. Like, that's what those other ones feel like.
Right.
It hurts.
There's no reason. There was literally no reason a God of War should have come out like that.
that late.
That late, especially not with a new idea, without a new idea at all.
Especially since the PSP ones also tell origin story.
Right?
Like, the first one tells an origin story, the second one tells an integral between 1 and 2. So it's just like, we had enough. Please move the timeline forward. And they're like, no.
No, Kratos might be dead. You already showed he wasn't. What are you talking about?
Bob, spoil it. Bob, don't spoil the game we beat on Friday.
Hey, it's fine. I'm glad you're comparing Ascension to BioShock Infinite. So if at the end, for some reason, you're doing bad stealth mechanics.
That would be insane.
If they do a stealth thing. Oh,
here's
God.
My thing. I think they might have.
Did the Lords of Shadow 2 come after that?
That was around the same time.
I need to see when Lords of Shadow 2 was 2014.
Was it 2014? Holy shit. I thought it was 2013. Jesus Christ. Man, what?
Oh my God.
You
I remember because it was like, because it did really bad because the next gen consoles were already out. So it's like, why would we play? And there was no next gen versions.
Right.
It's like, nobody wants this.
It's like, guys, you made a terrible game and then released it in the last place anyone wants to play the games right now. Oh
also,
boy.
The game was really bad.
Yeah. But I'm super excited for 3 and the PSP games. And I'm also excited for 2018. And I live in constant fear of Ascension.
I'm hyped for Ascension. I want to know what's in there.
I'm excited for that stream. But I am also terrified. I'm deeply terrified.
There's like there's the possibility that it's just like God of War 3, but more. And just feels like that.
Here's the thing, though.
But there's also the possibility that's like nobody's looking, so we're gonna be quirky.
I think I would have been down for more God of War 3. That's the thing I keep coming back to. Of like, I feel like I would have been down for that. You know, you get your giant titans doing other cool stuff.
Yeah, I don't think that we get any giant stuff.
No, I don't think we get really cool stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that's gonna be super cool. All I remember from that game is, I don't think they're alternate weapons. I think you get different elemental powers for your blades.
And that's insane.
Right?
Oh my God. I'm sorry,
well, Kratos
you weren't
have any other weapons
mode.
In one.
Yeah.
So
we can't possibly give him anything else.
Yeah. Then you would be like, where did it go?
Sorry, these enemies can only... You have to swap to the right element to be able to kill enemies, so it just slowly becomes DMC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. That would do it. That would absolutely be
another 2013 game.
That would be a Dan repellent right there.
I would lose my mind if it's like, yeah, it came out 2 months after DMC the DMC and did the same fucking thing.
Everyone's doing the fucking cruise control joke in the entire game industry at the same time.
It's like there's a chance you play it and there's like, yeah, no fucking wonder people thought gaming was dead. Look at this.
Dude, that is exactly how I felt revisiting a lot of these 7th gen games. I'm like, no wonder like hype just died out.
BioShock was like one of the biggest franchises of 7th gen. No fucking wonder.
but I'm very excited for 3. I'm also excited for the PSP games. I don't know when we'll get to that. The PSP games, the schedule on that's not clear right now,
right?
Because we're doing Poke Mondays. We started that officially this last Monday, unofficially before this last Monday.
Yeah
Snap counted. Come on.
Well, one of those was Poke Sunday.
Well, that was Pokemon Day.
Oh, so you just moved the space.
Yeah, there's no,
you just put a space between Pokemon and Day.
Yeah.
Hey guys, welcome to our new show, Pokemon Days. So we're playing through Pokemon Leaf Green. That's been an absolute joy. We have two redemptions. I mentioned one of them last week, where it's 10,000 channel points with a cooldown of an hour, because I quickly figured out 30 minutes was not enough to read every Pokedex entry for a Pokemon in every game ever.
Yeah, you might need to make that cooldown even longer.
We set it for 30 minutes, and I'm like,
I'm just going to have to talk for 2 hours straight. Oh, God.
You get some really insane lore. For example, China exists in Pokemon, evidently.
Yeah, they eventually write that down.
They brought it back. That was the thing. They brought it up in an early Dex entry, and I'm like, okay. And then they sobered up, and then 6 gens later, they said it again.
Right, but they've stopped after that. So I think from 6th gen on, we didn't see it.
No. I was saying 6th gen's later. So it was brought up in either 7th gen or Sword and Shield.
I don't think it was brought up. I think it was brought up in 6th gen at the latest.
It was so recent. I'm like, this is insane. Why would you copy and paste the China Dex entry? That makes no fucking sense, my man. Do you remember which fucking Pokemon entry that was? Or just like China's real?
Let's see. It was Making Medicine.
Yeah, from a poisonous bug. Paris.
Ah, yes.
Either Paris or Parasect. I believe it was Parasect. So I can figure this out right now. Control F China? So Pokemon Stadium is the one that introduces it. Okay?
Okay.
And it says, the bug host is controlled by the mushrooms that scatter poisonous spores. The spores are sometimes used as medicine in China. It's like, what the fuck is that about? Then you get all the way to Fire Red, and that's when it comes back. That's when they go, it scatters toxic spores from its mushroom cap. In China, the spores are used as an herbal medicine. And it's like, why is this real world country in Pokemon? That's the most insane thing ever. They brought it back again for third gen. Later on, they stopped saying where exactly.
That's good.
They still reference the concept.
Right, but they can't name it because they were going to have a... I'm excited for Pokemon China, whatever that is. Whatever.
But is China excited for Pokemon China? That's what we really need to know.
No. Yeah, I want to see the Pokemon version of the Great Wall.
There's one skeleton.
there is going to be the coolest fucking regional variant of Magikarp and Gyarados.
Yeah.
In that
world. Yes. Man, speaking of Magikarp, that was depressing. Someone made me read all of those entries.
Oh my god, I've never heard the Pokedex be so mean to anything ever.
Yeah, it was like Magikarp became the main character of Twitter that day. It was that bad.
It was the bean dad.
It was so terrible. Like, every entry is just like, this stupid asshole who sucks and should die. And that's how they all open.
This fish pisses and shits pisses.
It can't even swim. It deserves to go to hell. And I'm just like, wow, What is wrong with you? But yeah, anyway, so we had that entry, that redemption for 10K channel points with an hour cooldown because it was 8K and half an hour. That went poorly. My voice started giving out. But we had the other thing we were doing, which was a $10 donation for Bob to draw Pokemon from memory.
Yes!
The stuff that came out of that was unbelievably funny. This is...
Look, Dan, I didn't know Ninetales wasn't brown.
So people were like, is this the Florida regional variant of Ninetales? And started making jokes of, yeah, you would evolve it with kidney stone. It was unreal. That stream was fucking great. I'm so excited for us to do another week. Look forward to the Pod Lords. Anyways.
Uh-oh.
we got through a ton of that game. I was surprised.
I know. Like, that's why me and Spiff were laughing every time people are like, how long to beat says it's 29 hours? And I'm like, upside down? Like, you're playing the Game Boy backwards, so you need to work with that?
You're not using the running shoes, and you're closing your eyes?
The playthrough's just constant doof, doof, doof from you running into the wall.
I don't need Flash for Rock Tunnel.
I'm good. I'll figure it out. I'll hug the right wall. I'll show you. I can see a 3x3 grid. That's good enough. But yeah, no, that's... It's been absolutely great. Even if we did have almost every failure of equipment you could have had leading into the stream, ultimately resulting in us resorting to the Mister.
Old Faithful.
Yeah, because as it turns out, the EverDrive needs it needs a watch battery to save, like at all. It doesn't save immediately like a normal Game Boy Advance cartridge would. So our watch battery dies, and it starts saving half of the time, which is enough to scare the piss out of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Also, my copy of Leaf Green is seemingly missing in action. Don't know what's up with that. Tosh's copy of Fire Red has a file that literally has nothing done on it. It's just the beginning. And I'm like, somebody was running the beginning of this game over and over to get starters, weren't they?
Never.
That's what I assume happened there. But yeah, no, this has been... It's been really great. I really did love this playthrough. I'm not excited to having to switch to streaming off of the DS next time.
Yeah.
You know, whenever we get to the future, when we go to Gen 2. I love that version though, and I put a fresh battery in the Pokewalker, which saved my Pokemon from way back. I didn't realize it would do that. That Pokewalker has been dead for years.
Yeah, because I was gonna say it just saved your Pokemon that have been locked in there since what, 2009?
Something like that. Yeah, 2010-ish. Yeah. That's nuts. And really cool. So clearly I need to do some Pokewalker with some Pokemon Go. Very excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, aside from that, Bob and I played 5 minutes of GTA 5 on PS5. Here's our thoughts on that. Here's our 5 cents based on our 5 minutes with GTA 5 on PS5. The game runs well. The cutscenes aren't coded right, so the camera movement is juddery, and sometimes the animations are juddery. It's still 60, but it don't look it.
Ooh.
It's real weird. Some cutscenes will be fine. Others are not. Seems like a really neat way to play it. I'm glad it's finally 60 on console, because Jesus. How did it take this long?
Yeah. No, it's insane.
PS4 gen. So depressing. But that's it. That's all I got to say, Bob.
Yeah, that game has really nice looking textures now. some things look good, other things still look like, oh yeah, right, this game came out at the end of the PS3.
It's like, how do I describe this? It's like, this game really, this version of it is the equivalent of your neighbor who, like, has a pretty basic car that they put a giant Hemi in.
Yes.
Like, it's like, you're still a 7th gen game. I can still see that, but you look really fancy. You're all spruced up.
Right. And this game, it's been so long, I forgot how kind of terribly it controls.
And yet, it probably controls better than Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I remember that feeling worse.
Yeah, I remember that feeling, like, one of the worst feeling games I've ever fucking played.
Yes.
I can feel, like, my bones calcifying as you discuss this. Like, God, everything in Rockstar games feels like such shit.
Red Dead 2 was really broke people.
Yeah.
To the degree that I watch a stream for Super Mario Party, mm-hmm. the Giant Bomb's doing, and Jeff goes, oh my God, you have to wait for the dude to come back, and then you take the coins. This is the Red Dead 2 of Mario games. Because he had to wait for two animations. And I'm like, man, that game ruined people.
It's like when the breaking point is reached.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say Red Dead Redemption 2 was Rockstar fans' equivalent of what I'm worried Starfield will be for, you know, those fans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think in a worst-case scenario, it could be the breaking point.
Watching...
But who knows?
Yeah, like hearing Dan Reicher talk about like how much he loves the original Red Dead... And thinks that 2 is just one of the worst games he's ever played. It really put it in my mind of like, wow, they actually did it. They actually crossed that line. Not even people this into that can like it.
Oh, no. Yeah. He fucking everything about how you do that game and move around. Or engage.
It really seems like that whole game was designed around the online thing that just was a non-starter.
Well, not only that, without getting too much into details, I don't want to spoil Red Dead Redemption 2, because there is a chance someone listening is interested. There are certain directions the story goes that even further backs up the joyless nature of actually engaging and playing the game.
Oh, no.
So even people who stuck out all the way to that point, at that point went, okay, I'm done. And I've heard this story from multiple people.
Oh, no.
Where they just went, I, you know, it was kind of, it was on the edge the whole time. And then I hit that point and I was like, nah, I'm good.
That's too bad. I've heard nothing about that story except the memes about, come on, Arthur. I got a plan.
Yeah. But maybe someday I'll beat GTA 5. I feel like beating a GTA game would be neat. I've never done it.
Yeah.
What? Why would I beat a GTA game?
You never beat Vice City?
No, I've never.
That one's like a gentle ride, so I'm actually really surprised you've never beaten Vice City.
No, I've never beaten a GTA game. I mean, to be fair, when Vice City was popular, I did not own Vice City. I don't know what my parents would have thought of Vice City, but Bob owned it, so I could have borrowed it. But no, never beat a single GTA game.
I should just go beat one of the 2D ones and be like, yeah, I've beaten GTA.
They typically become a slog near the end, like to the point where you don't want to beat it.
Yeah. Vice City is like the only one that doesn't, in my opinion, because like in San Andreas, and I love San Andreas, like at the end, it's like, do these bad turf war things we came up with for like 4 hours.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, the you're probably right. I with Vice City for sure. Like I don't remember that becoming the pain that was 3 or San Andreas.
But here's the thing,
like or 4 even.
Yeah, I was gonna say one of the jokes I keep cracking is like eventually we'll run out of normal games to play through.
Uh huh.
And then we'll get to the point where it's like, okay, guys, our new stream goal is for Skyrim week, where we struggle to beat Skyrim in a single week with no guides and no help from chat. But GTA. GTA 4, specifically.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I was thinking about it. I think I've beaten Vice City, and that'd be the only one I've finished. I had no problem finishing Bully, which I feel like is just GTA.
Yeah, I also beat Bully.
Yeah, I think Bully's a bit more constrained in its scope. It's a smaller game.
Yeah, it had its smaller scope, and I remember even playing it at the time, I ended up preferring it because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's definitely an appeal to that.
Because it's still the exact same type of thing of do missions for these characters, pick up weapons, avoid cops, just being older dudes.
Yeah. Man, now I'm just remembering the Bully 2 stuff I read all about a few months back.
Yeah, God.
Yeah, no,
that's mine. Why did they have to do this?
And sorry, man, they had to go make GTA 5 and Max Payne 3 and literally assist with any other game and never get to finish.
Whatever, make a new Midnight Club.
Sure, whatever, fucking do it. Aside from that, I don't know if I played anything else. Bob, you play anything else?
Yeah, I played some other stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
I there are some good Capcom sales on the 3DS eShop.
Yeah, I heard people are doing eShop sales, a fire sale.
Is that why?
Yeah.
So I picked up Resident Evil The Mercenary 3D for $2.
Oh.
This game is weird.
I thought he was going to say this game is ass, but my brain's broken. So.
Okay, what's weird about it?
All right, so it's kind of like Mercenaries mode from Resident Evil 5.
Okay.
But they have to knock, they're like, constrain the levels because it's 3DS.
Yeah, because it's
a 3DS.
Yeah.
Also, this is like really them flexing the empty framework in a way of, I didn't know you could pair it back this much. Like, this is clearly their start of like what they need to do to get stuff later on, like running on different specs. Most enemies run at a half or a quarter frame rate. They're just constantly things like that where they'll mix frame rate, they'll change the size of things. Also, when you aim, instead of it being like behind the shoulder, you go first person. It's really strange because of that.
Yeah, that would be... So the camera just zooms into your body and you're first person?
Yeah, the camera's like you're third person most of the time, but you aim, it goes first person. And different weapons do it and don't. So you'll see, like, I got a bow and arrow as one of the characters. That stays third person.
What the fuck?
What?
But this is already weird enough.
Yeah, but a handgun goes first person.
I assume a knife is third person.
Bob?
Bob?
I don't think so. I think it goes first person for the knife. I can't remember, though.
Like it was almost sober when the last Splinter Cell went spies versus mercs. The ones that aren't the spies are first-person shooter gameplay. And this just seems even more... What are you doing?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
It's really neat. They also, like, this controls differently other ways of, like, okay, you're aiming. Hold L to move, which you can't do that in Resident Evil 5. You can't move while aiming.
You're like, this isn't faithful.
Yeah, you can also move while reloading. They use the touch screen to let you quickly switch weapons and use items and stuff, which works fairly well, but for some reason it's really goofy and sometimes it won't switch the weapon when you click it. You can also hit up and down on the D-pad to switch weapons. So it's at least they made some other way to deal with it if you don't want to interact with that thing. They added new characters that aren't in any other mercenary modes, like Claire. but it's super strange because her moveset's new and it doesn't line up with the enemies all the time. So you like you shoot a guy in the head, you run up to him and do this thing where she punches him twice and then kicks, but the first two punches knock him down, so the kick just hits nothing. I'm like, what? How did you? What happened? And they gave Hunk new moves too, where he has like a blade, like a wrist blade, and also a blade that pops out of his shoe.
Okay.
Which I don't remember that. Maybe I'm just don't remember Hunk's moveset well.
Didn't they add Hunk to like?
I believe he's in both 4 and 5 mercenary modes.
Yeah, I feel like they added him as a thing. Yeah.
But yeah, now you like shoot a guy in the head, and then he pops a wrist blade out and stabs in the neck. And another one where he's like, he shoots his knee or something, and he kicks them with a foot knife. I'm like, this is crazy. I like it, but very strange. And then, strangely, it doesn't let you just play mercenaries mode like you expect. You literally, the first like 8 levels or so are tutorial levels teaching you about how to play this game. And pop you between a bunch of different areas.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get to just sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to do all the public assembly levels and just have that done. No, you're unlocking different ranks of stages where they'll change up stuff and do new tutorials. And there was even a boss fight one.
Man.
So this is really interesting, and I wish they ported it to anything.
Yeah, I really wish they ported this to anything. Really glad they put it on sale.
Yeah, I definitely was picking it up. It's very strange.
But it's $2.
Yeah, it's only $2. I won't say it's good, but I'm going to keep playing it. It's very interesting. I want to see all the different characters they put in and all different costumes that they put in.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm just sitting here like, we're going to be like, we streamed every Resident Evil game, including Mercenaries on 3D.
People are like, hey, this has been a great stream. Actually, no, I'm lying. I've been watching you do the same level for 7 hours. So these are different ranks. These are different levels.
Yeah, it's different. It's new. Shut up.
It's good content, we promise.
We promise this is good.
They made an insane opening CG cutscene.
Okay.
Where it's just all the characters fighting zombies and being cool.
Okay, yeah, that seems like what you would do, yeah.
It even has Rebecca not being cool, but being shot. The camera acts like she is.
Oh, okay.
Because that's her place, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The other thing I bought on the sale was Street Fighter 4 3D edition.
I can't believe it. The one where you press the things in the touchpad to do supers.
Yeah, you can save yourself the hassle of having to do an input by just touching the touchscreen. You have 4 different things set to it.
It's very good that they have that feature.
Why is that, Bob?
Because it's impossible.
Yeah, doing 2 quarter circles forward. Impossible on this micro D-pad. Yeah. It just doesn't work. I sat there trying so many times.
But you have the circle pad.
I tried that too. That thing's also just terrible.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It seems like a really faithful port, other than the fact that this control scheme is awful. Like the D-pad is the worst imaginable for this game.
Yeah, it always seemed like the most insane port.
But it's really neat to see it in 3D. I didn't mention in the Mercenaries either, but the 3D looks pretty nice, and it's interesting to see it like that. But yeah, in this game, they have a mode where it's just regular Street Fighter, and it's really cool to see the 3D environments kind of pop just in that, and see the Ultra moves do it, because those have cool dynamic angles, and they actually, the 3D works on them. But then they have a dynamic mode where the camera's like behind your character.
Okay.
Which
is, I remember that. Yeah.
It's hilarious because a concession they make to make this game run. Another thing of like, wow, MT Framework, pretty neat that they got this running on mobile.
Yeah, on a 3DS, yeah.
All of the background characters are 2D sprites.
Yes, they are.
So when you put the camera behind your character, you just see the sheets of paper behind
you. Oh my god, I thought they would at least face them towards you at all times.
No.
Oh my god.
Not at all.
That's good.
You gotta be fucking kidding.
That's really good. What version of this game is it just based on the original SF4?
No, it's like, I think it's Super. Okay. Yeah. It has most of the characters. I don't think it has, it doesn't have like that fake cameo they put in at the very end or any of the characters from Street Fighter Cross Second.
Yeah, it's based on Super.
Yeah.
So I remember it was before Arcade Edition or whatever they called it.
Right. Okay. So you get Jury and you get a ton of like alpha characters.
You get Jiren.
Yes.
But yeah, you're not getting everything.
Yeah, okay, that
or a good experience because look at it.
Yeah,
I remember them releasing that. It was the weirdest contrast between the Vita and the 3DS.
Uh huh.
Where they released Street Fighter 4 on the 3DS, and it was this horribly compromised nightmare of inputs.
Right.
And then they released Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 on the Vita, and it's like, this is an incredible port. Like, yeah. They still have to dial it back, of course.
Right. Like, I'm pretty sure the backgrounds just don't move, but...
Some of them are just frozen solid. I think the Ghosts and Goblins one is one of the most obvious and terrible-looking one of those.
Right.
But it's just, like, this game's extremely playable. This D-pad feels great. In fact, one might argue they're still the best D-pad. Fucking Sony, make a controller with a D-pad like that. Make the Micro Switch D-pad, for Christ's sake. But yeah, it's... Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 on the Vita was amazing. Like, that was a really cool moment. And Street Fighter 4 on the 3DS was dog shit.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't put Street Fighter 4 on the Vita. They clearly did all the work to get it scaled down to run on a 3DS.
I don't know. Maybe
there's some contract thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm sure each version had their own, you know... Local platform owner helps pay you for exclusive port.
Yeah. Nintendo wanted it.
Maybe they just really were in on this 3D is cool. Because that's what this whole port seems to be like focused on. Man, look at the 3D effect.
Yeah, that's why it has that insane behind camera angle.
Right.
God. What a mistake.
But yeah, this has like the full challenge mode. You can go do trials and stuff. And it's like, this is impossible.
Oh, no.
See, Bob, you should have gotten your 3DS modded to have a GameCube controller port on it. I think about that constantly, because if we did that, we wouldn't have to worry about the USB wiggling loose in the middle of a stream.
Huh. Yeah.
But now that 3DS capture units are rarer than Nazi gold, yeah, I don't feel confident about sending that out to get modded.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, people just try to sell you the ones where it's like, this has an app.
Yeah.
So you can use your Wi-Fi internet to transmit the capture signal.
Yeah, they literally on eBay, Bob.
Yeah.
They're trying to sell that as a capture.
That's insane.
Capture kit modded 3DS. And it's like, no, it has Homebrew installed and it's a new 3DS, so it can power the screen share.
Oh my God.
Which runs at ass frames per second, which for some stuff, whatever.
Yeah, it looks really terrible. And we're charging an insane amount of money for
Not a single piece of silicon, yeah.
Yeah, not a... Yeah.
Yeah. Just, we hacked a 3DS and installed software we didn't make. Give us $400.
God. That's so
extra.
Bad. Extra.
Yeah, it was nuts. Anyways, I hope we exit this dark era where no one is making a proper fucking capture unit. Anyways. Did you play anything else, Bob?
The only other thing I played was Genshin Impact. They added a new event for bartending.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. Various characters from the franchise come in to your bar.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I want this drink. And then you make them the drink. And
Does it play like the root beer tapper game?
Yeah, I was going to say, Bob, does it play like Tapper?
No, it does not. You actually...
Okay. Second question is, how good is it compared to Tapper? Say Tapper's a 10 out of 10.
I haven't played much of Tapper. I've seen it played. I don't know if it's actually fun to play. I have no idea.
Bob, Tapper's an arcade game from 1983.
So no.
That's all I'm going to say about it. Sounds Genshin Impact compared to an arcade game from 1983.
It's like a 12.
Yeah, it's really great.
What do you do in this bartending minigame, Bob?
You get this big list of like ingredients you can mix together,
mm-hmm.
and then you have a recipe list you can bring up.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the recipes are locked. You have to literally like experiment by mixing stuff. So you have like, okay, the three bases are juice, tea, and coffee. And there's this thing in the story where they explain, no, we can't let you serve drinks. I don't trust you. Like, you can't serve alcohol.
All right.
Fair.
Okay.
But yeah, you're mixing those three bases, and then you have a bunch of toppers like cocoa, not powder, but pebbles. Cocoa juice, something like that.
Okay.
Caramel. It's paste, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, caramel and a bunch of other things. And they all mix together to make different drink names. And the customer will give you a vague description of what they want, and you have to kind of try and figure out what they mean. And once you do all the ones for the main cast, you then can do a mini game that's kind of like I'm the Chef, where you customers just come in and you need to make it on the fly and be like, oh, I want this kind of drink, but with extra coffee. And then you have to make sure you get that in within a time limit, because they have like a ticker or ticking clock on them for when they run out and leave. And it's pretty neat. It's not hard, but it was fun. I would definitely like to see this mini game come back in a larger capacity, because it's like a week long event or something. So they didn't have that much content to it.
Yeah, this mini game sounds good if it was like, I don't know, the subject material of a 1983 arcade game made by Midway.
Oh my God.
I need to see footage of this. I'm going to look it up while we continue this podcast. That's too funny.
There's really nice animations for your main character just like mixing drinks. Them pouring it out, and they have lots of unique looking final product drinks for you too, like the okay, you made the coffee with the caramel on top, and it's got the cool lines of caramel. It's neat.
Cool.
But that's everything I played.
Okay. I don't believe I missed anything I played. I got Bob to play Super Zanguda.
Oh God.
Unfortunately.
He figured out pretty quickly.
That sure is a game.
Okay. Hey KZ, what you been playing?
First up, I played a little bit more Triangle Strategy, which I'm no longer playing, as I outlined on Twitter this weekend. So I was having a really good time with this, in general, pretty solid, like, tactic strategy game. I also didn't mention that the composer is pretty good, has done various anime, like, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, apparently Victory Gundam. I haven't seen that one. But I hit the point that kind of made me stop playing, which is in that game, you're given moments where your main group in that game votes to decide what you do next in the story. And you can go and do things to like convince them to pick a certain side, because they'll tell you which ones are definitely leaning towards something. You can unlock evidence to make them sway. Even doing all the correct choices, they just wouldn't pick the thing I wanted.
Why is that?
There's a conviction system in this game where every single time you have a dialogue choice in every cutscene in the game, the choices will lead to one of three different convictions leveling up. I think one of them's like honor, stuff like that.
Okay.
Just archetypes. Because I answered things just with whatever I felt appropriate at the time, they decided that in this decision, there's the one from the demo last year. Of will you sell this guy out to the clearly evil bad people? Since that was a nice boy thing, but they didn't consider my conviction of nice boyness high enough, it was impossible to get that choice to work.
Okay, so what did the game do in that instance? It just made you...
How it works is your entire group votes, but you never vote unless it's a tie. And if it's a tie, you win. But because they outvoted me, that means that they go for what they want, which is to sell that character out. Because no matter what I did in trying to convince the people that were for it, even the correct answers you have to use, they didn't think your conviction was high enough, so they didn't feel like it was still a good choice anyway.
Okay, so when you have these dialogue decisions,
yeah,
you said it affects your conviction into three different sort of
things. Three different concepts.
Okay, do you get to see how it affects those?
No, but they will make the meter visible on New Game Plus.
Oh, okay. So
it's one of those things where the game clearly wants you to just play the game and deal with whatever happens. If you fail to get this thing, just play it out, because apparently there's multiple endings. I'll bet there's like seven of these arguments that happen in the game, and they lead to entirely different chapters.
Okay. Yeah, I could see why you would do that. Yeah.
Yeah, but for this one, I tapped out because I'm like, I know what happens here. They have entire moments of going, why did you make this choice? And I'm like, I'm not turning this into a 7th gen video game that tries to make me feel bad over something beyond my control. I'm just gonna I'm just going to tap out.
Who knows? Maybe later on they're like, man, your friends are assholes. And you're like, I know.
Yeah, it was just very frustrating. And I remember from that demo, the next map you do is significantly harder than the other one.
Okay.
Where I was like, I'd rather not. Okay. But everything else about the game's really is really solid. And also, I guess I just really picked the wrong choices on there.
That's the kind of the system I kind of expected from that game. So I've.
I don't discount or think the game's terrible. It's just something where I was like, I'm not really interested in doing that.
I think that system's really neat because I could see how it could just become infuriating.
Yeah, because even when people said I'm just not going to buy this now that I know that that's the thing, I'm like, it's still really solid, and I feel like I just really was unlucky with some of the cutscene choices I made to trap myself in this way. But
it feels like they're like actively trying to avoid like the BioWare situation where you can switch your morality on a dime and the game just doesn't care.
Oh yeah, that's 100% what that's trying to do.
Yeah,
where they're like, you didn't make a lot of nice boy things, so when the choice comes to this, we're gonna make it harder. Apparently, if you grind an insane amount of free battles, all conviction stats are raised, and if you hit a certain amount, it could probably sway, but. After, like, doing 10 in a row, I wasn't getting it. And I was like, there's a lot of games coming out, and it's fine if I don't necessarily. I played, like, 6 or 7 hours, so I have a pretty decent grasp on a lot of the systems. I did some of their promotion stuff, because you can, like, promote units and other stuff to get a good sense of the game. At the very least. But I stopped on that. Apparently, that was, like, a third of the game.
Oh, okay.
So it was not too bad. Next thing, I played all of Final Fantasy VI this week.
Cool. Ooh.
Through the Pixel Remaster. One, all the Pixel Remasters have had a lot of uniform stuff. Like, I noticed it with spells like Haste look exactly the same as like a cool little energy clock. Or Blizzard looks like this. And for VI, they're all completely new.
That's good.
Like, all of that stuff is like new, different assets. People have already, you know, talked about, like, certain cutscenes look really nice. Like, there's the cave that, like, leads to some of the Esper stuff. The effects they do with smoke in that look amazing. And it really works well with some of the pixel art. The entire opera scene is completely changed and uses 3D building assets for a castle.
Yeah, that's the part that was, like, and, I don't know if that's going to look good.
And different camera pans at, like, different angles. And also, everyone performing in this opera is fully voice acted.
Huh.
And they're, like, doing opera-style stuff with it. And there's, like, maybe 2 or 3 different characters doing that. And it's for every language also.
Wow.
Yeah, the part where they translate it into a ton of languages is nuts.
Right.
It's really cool.
Which really explains why this got delayed a little bit. Because they put a lot into that. The music is incredible, especially for that opera section. They did a really good job. And the various cutscenes, it's so clear to see the jump in quality between 5 and 6, just in every area, from combat to writing to just how expressive every sprite is. Then some of the gimmick dungeon stuff they got going on in there was pretty fun. I haven't played this since like the advanced version in 2007, so it's been a minute. I didn't remember a lot of it. I forgot how neat it is that they have dungeons where it's like you're making multiple parties and then you're swapping between them to solve puzzles and progress, especially at the end when they expect you to have 3 of those. Only real issue I had is one of the bosses in this version was fixed because it used to be bugged.
Mm-hmm.
Which exposes it as one of the worst bosses in the first like 6 games.
You just mean hardest or genuinely bad?
It sucks. So one of your party members in this, Cyan, is the old samurai guy.
Yeah.
If you go back in the second half of this game to his kingdom and sleep, they redo that thing that I from Mario RPG where the 3 ghosts appear when you take the nap. Where they're like, we're going to hide a flag around the world. But this time they're like, we're causing him problems in his dream. And then you go inside his brain and you do like a mini dungeon of different things he's dealing with. And it ends with this boss that's like, okay, you only have 3 party members. I will go inside one of you and there will be ads here. and you gotta make sure that one dies, and then I'll leave it, and then I'm exposed, and you can deal damage. There is no tell of where he goes. He just randomly picks one of your three party members, and you're like, that party member now has to die. So you have to find some way to get them killed, and then be able to sync up attacks to attack this guy who has a lot of HP. And he was broken in all the older versions, because if he used X-Zone, or as it's translated now, Banish, it would instantly kill him due to a bug.
Huh.
And that doesn't exist anymore, and this boss just sucks. It just becomes a thing of, I've been fighting him for a while, and I guessed wrong, and, oh, I brought mages in here. What do the ads do? They do MP absorb. They just took all of it. They just took literally all of it. So I'm just feeding my people ethers, hoping I get the right one in this fight. I did not lose. I won in one attempt. The fight was 28 minutes long. And they're like, you did it. Cyan's unlocked all his moves. And I'm like, was it worth it, though?
Sure.
I'm not entirely sure.
Nah, Cyan's real cool.
He is pretty cool.
He is pretty cool, man.
Yeah. God. Yeah, overall, the game was great. Some of the World of Ruin sections are kind of bad, but some of them are good. I feel like it might be a little too grindy in the fact that you need to at least have what you could make three teams that can face a moderately difficult boss first.
Yes.
That can be a little difficult. I mean, in the end, it wasn't too bad for me, but I don't know if it's healthy for me to have three teams where three people on each team can use Ultima.
No, that's normal.
And I'm just and I'm just cycling that the whole game.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah.
That is you played Final Fantasy VI, I hear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just I'm just going to run Ultima, and then my main one is going to run a dual cast Ultima. get a couple of them in there. Maybe cast like the re-raise.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was really good. That's an immaculate super game in which its final boss track and credits theme take up exactly 50% of the entire soundtrack. Because it just keeps going.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's good.
Yeah. I finished that up and I got some time to play some Stranger of Paradise, finally, based on the full retail release.
Something something code by Square Enix?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I got a code from over there. Something.
I hit the button on my stream deck. It didn't do anything. It's not plugged in.
Oh, God damn it.
I got to ask before you get into your Stranger in Paradise segment.
What?
I assume you could talk about this. Do you have to say that on stream multiple times anymore? Have the terms changed? Because the last time we got a code from them, there was a different guy in charge over there.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what the new rules look like, and I'm curious if I need that button.
I'm not sure, because I've also watched other people that have done it, and nobody does it.
Huh.
So even if it's real, they don't care. They clearly don't care.
My solution was to make a bed out of it.
Yeah, my solution was...
The one time I did it, I just had it at the bottom.
Yeah.
On the overlay.
Yeah, like, yeah, I either put it in the overlay, and I... also just put in the stream title, so it's just like, you know. But yeah, I played some Stranger of Paradise. You're right, the game does in fact intro like that. That's kind of weird.
That is weird.
And then I was like, oh, okay. As soon as you get past that intro section, it's just like a normal video game, and you just get cutscenes where they're placed, and they act out a story that moves linearly. I understand what they were going for with those intro ones. There are many avenues in which you could introduce that information not like that.
Yes, I understand that it's like they want it to be like the opening of Final Fantasy I, where it's like, go, but you could have done it differently.
That, and it feels and like insane. I feel like it's trying to be like, later you'll understand what the story's doing, and I'm like,
you will regret your words and deeds.
Yes, exactly. I'll understand why it cut to black and then put text on the screen.
Look, guys, you don't understand the song Interference. It's called Interference thematically. It's about interference. That's why the guitar was half plugged in.
But yeah, I was going through that, and yeah, that game's still plays incredibly well. I was trying out all the different weapons. I'm trying to clear through all, max out all the basic jobs. I really like the katana in this. At least the starter job. I don't know how I feel like the samurai is a more advanced job, because you start with a a charge move where you sheathe the sword, then you shoot forward and just unleash it, and enemies just don't know what to do. They're like, holy shit, that hit so hard. And then they give you a buff forward where it's like, if you time it where when it's right as it's fully charged, it does even more. Just learning the different intricacies with different weapons has been pretty good. I feel like my favorite is going to end up being anything related to the axe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the axe just sets off so much serotonin because it's like the world explodes.
Yes,
you
it
fully
is.
Charge the axe.
You're basically wielding a car. Like, yeah. That thing just crashes down.
Did you see
the evolve, like one of the attacks the second axe class gets you?
No.
You hit them with the axe, you spin around three times, they're stuck to the axe.
What?
It is embedded in their side. Then Jack jumps and slams them down.
That's
and
good.
And they just get deleted from reality.
That's good.
Yeah, I've just been using the starter so I can get to level 30 because I'm like, I just want to finish my whole plate here. And even there, you get really good moves of your first R2 charge just does a permanent debuff on the enemy, like in multiple ways. And then you have the follow-up one that's ground pound. And I noticed something when I was fighting bosses with it going, they're not stopping me while they're hurting me. I can just do it. So you can just live in an enemy and go, I have super armor here. And when this hits, you're not going to like it.
Like, there's also a lot of buffs you can give yourself to make your super armor even stronger, and there's a late game one that's like, you don't take damage when you're charging an attack.
Oh my god. Yeah, because I saw people talking about how like buffs and various other like other systems really, really help in this. So I'm really excited to like dig into more of it when I start using some of the more advanced stuff or doing with other people said where it's like as a monk you can use a dragoon lance and stuff like that because you've got like cross class related things you can do. Story seems pretty dope. I'm interested in the places that it's going. I liked after I finished the first major boss and they said, which one do you want to go for next? So I thought that was interesting. I didn't expect the game to be like that where they're like, which crystal do you want to go for? I don't think Tonberries have been this fearsome ever.
Yeah, they're scary.
Like, I saw one spawn mid-fight in a fight. And I'm like, oh, you motherfucker, I get it. Because once it appears on there, all of its attacks are like in Elden Ring, where something's like, I'm going to shoot 50 blasts everywhere. It's like, I'm going to send out all these ghosts that are going to do dark damage. Or I'll send these out. If you get hit by this, you're paralyzed for 3 seconds. I will now teleport behind you and stab you.
Yeah, when you see them teleporting, it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah, it's real rough, but I do appreciate the takedown kill in that. Despite it being a Podlord image, I did not know how that thing fully played out. That is hilarious and really satisfying.
It's really good.
They literally have mission types that are like, it's that old level. You're going backward, but you need to find it and kill 3 Tonberries. they will just occasionally be key parts that you'll deal with. And I'm like, oh god, this is harder than some bosses. These dudes are fearsome. But yeah, not too much else to say about it. I'm still not super far in, but I'm just really glad how great the combat is feeling. And I'm looking forward to getting to some of the later jobs. And that would wrap up everything I played this week.
Okay. Hey, Phil.
I also play Stranger Paradise. I'm about where KZ is, so I don't have a whole lot more to say about it. It definitely has the problem that I suspected it might, which is just that it's like there's the Yakuza games that aren't set in the normal Yakuza setting, like the Samurai ones and the Fist of the North Star one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where it's like, these franchises are good because they're really heavily iterative, and then they got told, make a whole new game.
Yeah, I could see.
So
you're drawing a comparison between Neo and that, right?
Between Neo and that, where it just feels like a little bit more hollow,
because
it's like you didn't get to make iteration. Like Neo 2 is like huge and really polished and stuff more than Neo 1 because they basically didn't have to make anything new.
Oh, the leap
they just
between
built on what was already there.
The leap between like, them is so massive,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this is not like a leap. I think if they do another one of these, it could be ridiculous. Oh, yeah. Especially Square Enix gives them time to polish the performance properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Which, by the way, I don't think that game has dynamic resolution.
Yeah. Because
I think they hard set what the resolution is supposed to be for areas, because I went into an elevator and it changed before the doors opened. it's like we went into Blurville before the door opened.
That's funny as shit.
At least I can edit the INI file live.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Apparently it has a PC setting that no other PC game ever made has.
What?
Where it's like performance focus or some weird vague setting that turns on the weird blur for the PC version. I think mechanically though is really solid, and I really love all the things you can do with the combinations of abilities. I also think the bosses are really fun in a way that Neo bosses kind of weren't. I just wish that it had gotten, like, I wish it could be on the scale of Neo 2, but obviously it can't with the same amount of time and money as Neo 2 had, because it's not building on something.
Yeah.
But I did play other things. I decided to give some indie games on Game Pass a try.
Oh my god.
Well, that's great. That's what it's for.
That's so great. I'm so happy.
So I played this game called Young Souls once I found out it was not, in fact, a roguelite structured like Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah, I played this for that one of those demo roundups.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
So I'm just going to say some things that this game reminded me of, and we'll see how far before somebody has a stroke.
Okay.
River City Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Universe.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Knack.
What?
What the fuck? Yeah, I can see it.
So this game is like an RPG beat 'em up. It's bad. Like mechanically it's real dire. Like, I couldn't even play that much of it because mechanically it feels so bad. The plot is like your twins in like the Gravity Falls-esque semi-rural town, and you live with your foster father, who is like an old professor who researches cryptids. And then you find out there's the other dimension full of trolls and orcs and goblins. And they're all very, like, Knack-esque goblins.
Yes.
This game's beat-em-up combat feels really bad. Oh. Like, you hardly have any options. And your hitbox feels really big, like, front to back. Where it's like, I'm not really on the same, like, elevation as the enemy. They shouldn't be hitting me, but they are, and there's not really anything I can do except mash the normal attack, and also I have a roll, but it only goes left, right, it doesn't go up, down, so it, like, in a beat-em-up, you usually avoid things by going up or down.
Yeah, you use the y-axis or z-axis, depending on how you...
I got to the first actual boss, because there's, like, a prologue that's, like, starts in media res, and then it cuts to earlier to find out how you got there.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that was one of the weird parts of the demo, for sure. I was wondering if the full game would be like that.
So I got to the first boss, and he's a guy that teleports away and then summons ads, and when you beat the ads, he teleports back in, and you get to hit him, like, a little bit, and he teleports out and summons ads, and I'm like, I think I'm done with this.
I've never seen a boss fight like that before. I haven't seen it a couple times playing God of War.
It's frustrating because a lot of the systems outside of the combat were neat, and I was hoping that the full game would let me see something more in the combat.
No, the combat just feels really basic and bad. And it's like, I don't want to get to, like, the RPG parts, because it already feels like you put way too much weight on those. When it's more like you need to build, like, a satisfactory system first. Also, I don't know who this game is for, because it has, like, the Steven Universe-esque visual, like, presentation, and the enemies are, like, really goofy-looking goblins. Like, they're Knack-esque.
Mm-hmm.
But your protagonists are, like, constantly dropping the F-bomb.
Okay.
So I'm like, this feels weird, especially since they do that, like, we don't know how to write teenage characters thing, where it's like, They're like ostracized nerds, but everybody's afraid of them, but also disrespects them, but also,
yeah,
thinks they're losers. We really don't have anything going here.
real quick, I like the art style, the key art, like, you know, the box art sort of thing, the splash screens, character designs and things. And I like the environmental art. For what?
Yeah, the presentation of this looks nice. It's just that it doesn't feel good to play at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunate. I was actually really digging this art style.
Like, I'm trying to think of, like, a beat-em-up that's come out recently that I would say is on this level, and the only comparison is Battletoads.
What do you mean this game came out a year and a half ago? No, it's the announcement trailer.
Oh, it came out on Stadia.
Yeah, it came out on Stadia. I thought it came out a year and a half ago on Stadia, and no, that's just the announcement trailer. Thank Christ. But yeah, it did seemingly launch on Stadia first. Seemingly.
Okay.
I also played Infernax, which seems all right. It maybe is a little bit too, because it's one of those where I wanted to make Castlevania 2, but not bad. And it is better than Castlevania 2, but it feels maybe like a little bit too beholden to being like what they think an NES game is. So it's like this feels cheap. Not hard, just cheap.
When you played these games, were you aware they're the same publisher?
No. What?
Yeah, I scrolled down the results of the first page about, you know, Young Souls, and at the bottom it says the Arcade Crew games, Infernax. And I'm like, wait, what? That's literally what he's talking about.
I guess that explains why they both came to Game Pass at roughly the same time.
Right, that's what I was gonna say. It's just like, yep, they sure did.
Also,
Game
also the Arcade Crew is
an
extension of .emu.
Yes. Okay.
But the only real thing, other than like it's a little bit cheap and I probably will play more of it, is sometimes the art is real goofy. Like, I need to find an example here where sometimes like the protagonist becomes like Simpsons-esque in the art.
What?
I need to find a picture of the pretend, like, in this gameplay footage, I need to find like a picture of the art, because it's really kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Where are we good?
I'm looking at this game's gameplay, and it's really weird. Like, it, you know, side-scroller, 2D, Castlevania vibes. Yeah, I'm seeing what you're talking about. A cutscene art's real weird, though.
Yeah, it just looks kind of goofy. Here, I found a good one.
Okay.
It's small, but I feel like it conveys. Like, he just looks a little bit goofy.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it like a humorous game?
I don't know. It seems to be like, yes, but not primarily.
Okay.
I've heard that there's like all kinds of weird secret endings and conditions you can get that have goofy, funny things and sometimes fucked up things, but I haven't seen any of that because I've only played it for like an hour. But it seems neat.
I'm just gonna. Post.
I just wish it wasn't like
just gonna
this,
post
this
that.
Thing deals.
What?
That's in the launch.
Honestly, at first I thought this was made by the same people who made Blazing Chrome and
I could see
Odalis.
Yeah, it's got mild Odalis vibes for sure.
But apparently it's not. I'm trying to think, did I play anything else? I checked out the Final Fantasy V Pixel Remaster a little bit. That looks real nice.
Mm.
I didn't get very far into it before I had to do something else, but I'm surprised how nice the backgrounds in these Pixel Remasters look. Like, yeah. they really took them to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where it's like, I don't think these games needed like a 2D HD thing. These look good.
You know, earlier today, I saw someone who was like, yeah, that came to iPhone. And I'm like, what do you fucking mean it came to oh, it's the soundtrack. It's the soundtrack. Calm down.
Yeah, no. Look, console, please.
Yeah, that would be. Nobody's ever played a Final Fantasy game on consoles.
No one wanted to.
I have to assume they're just going to put these all on a disc and ship it to retail.
Oh, man. If they did that, that would be some value. If it was just all of them.
Every time I finished one of these, I had over 70% completion on achievements. I need them on PlayStation. I'll do it. I'll
plat, 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 plat.
I'll find some way to break two. I'll do it.
Jesus. Now you can pay me to play Final Fantasy 2.
No, I want to know more about the Wild Rose. What's wrong with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, the Wild Rose Rebellion.
Okay, that's all I play.
Your party member talks to beavers.
Feel, have you considered what if I paid you to play Final Fantasy?
I got someone who can really help you figure out the really broken stuff.
Oh, No, that's good.
I know
that's
a dog good. That can do that.
You have an expert?
Yeah, I do.
That's good.
They helped me turn David Bowie into a frog.
We have experts here, too. They're known as the Pod Lords.
Oh, fuck!
Oh, fuck.
Ah!
Yes, that's right. Oh, fuck. The Pod Lords.
Oh, fuck, such as.
Oh, fuck, such as. E. Lee Broyles. Corey Brown. We will kill chaos. Red Blaze 27. Juice of Frost remembered his Patreon password.
There we go. Let's go.
Woo.
Happy for you. Happy for you. Suzu Shiro. Emperor Zero. Shibuya Gato. Tale Time with Sugexru Komashida. For listeners, I meant to say Komashida. The viewers, they get to see you. You're dependent on me explaining. Rado. 101 Shades of Wonderful Remastered. WTF, Spider-Man. Me trying to help cover the boobs in the God of War stream with my hands before realizing it doesn't work and how dumb I am.
Like we're back in anime club.
Yes. The Aponte method is not working even in 2022. Alpha waves are stored in the star.
God, alpha waves.
What?
Alpha waves are great. I love reading every Pokedex entry.
Oh my God.
It rules. DFW 3K. The C in FLCL stands for cheeseburger.
I don't like that.
I'm so stop scheduling our future content world.
This Pokemon is said to have formed when an ancient depiction of Mew was exposed to the moon's X-rays.
Shiny.
I love Pokedex entries, you guys.
I like the face on this shiny Mew.
It's like Grimer was made when moon X-rays, and I'm like, who's on the moon shooting X-rays at us? What the hell's going on? This is insane. Kristen. Frieza-berry.
I'll doink you, monkey.
Bayonetta 3, Steam Deck Edition.
What are you running, Yuzu?
Right?
I'm on time. Go watch Sara Lene on Twitch. She's streaming for charity. This is just a random image I had.
Ooh.
I like that image, though, so...
I also do.
I'm pretty predisposed to Podlords who dump random images in, but I was like, this is a good one. This is a really good one.
Hey, it's like Cooper Tanks first fucking yes. Icon, where it's like, I cannot choose it.
Kyle Bjork. Oh my God. Fuck Maddie Mo.
Oh no.
Maddie Mo. This image has nothing to do with their name.
There's fiberglass in my brain.
We need to read that Pokedex entry, apparently.
Yeah, maybe that's in that Pokedex entry. I don't know. I literally, you know, we have that chug and bleach bit of feel will make something up. I could do that for Pokemon now because these fucking Dex
oh,
entries.
No!
This yes. Shit's so insane. I could go, yeah, probably. Why wouldn't Paraguay be in Pokemon?
Man, there's a lot of really good random images people are choosing. Right?
Podlord ahead. However, be wary of ambush.
Try finger.
Iron aggro. Blig de blue. Schlig de spoo. There is no beating last week's Carl bit. So, front facing Carl.
Oh no! Those ears
not as bad as front facing Charlie from Smiling Friends.
Oh, that's so bad.
It looks so terrible.
Yeah, I know.
His head's melting. It's like caving in almost.
It's like his teeth are trying to eat his ears.
Monster Hunter, Ryzen, and Raiden. BN12. Send him. To Detroit.
I do discuss that they do in fact send you to Detroit.
Nothing.
Oh.
I thought these were pod lords, not creepy pastas.
Wait till next October.
Cooper, tank. Thanks, PETA.
Ugh.
What discotheque media is gonna do to my wallet this year?
Every time. Every time they do one of their mini discotheque E3 shows.
It's amazing. AG's bird facts. The common loon has such a recognizable wail, it is used in every bird call in Hollywood movies.
Oh.
It's also apparently possessed by Satan going by this image.
Right?
Yeah, what the fuck's going on here?
It is every bird ever. It is the beginning and the end, the alpha and the omega.
Honk, honk.
Honk. You said 42 shots. I lost count. Where's my $50 a month going? Why is my Pepsi flat?
Man, look at that. Caked up.
Drive type cam. Zasiana. Mitzi. And now the end is near. And so I face the final curtain. Rip holy shield gun glitch. Indigo Sykes. Gaijin. It is said to be the world's weakest Pokemon. No one knows why it has managed to survive. Bob, who's that Pokemon?
That's the Magikarp.
No, wait.
Definitely Magikarp.
Did Bob draw this?
Yes!
I was like, what is this Phoebus looking thing?
I know, that was the best part. Chad's like, that's a Phoebus.
No!
I was like, what's a Phoebus look like?
I was literally going to say, what is this stupid thing? Oh, no!
It's so good. I fucking love this bit. People are like, can we pay Daniel to draw things? And I'm like, yeah, sure. It costs $20 and you'll probably get something incomplete. I cannot draw in 10 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
A raccoon that is ready to kill some chaos. Look at him go.
I would I would fucking run. if I see it standing like that, no.
I know.
Blocks your path.
I'm not really ready for raccoons to A-pose at me menacingly.
I'm waiting for Bandy to do this.
Ugh. I got sick, ho. No funnies this time, hee-ho. Oh, that's unfortunate. Hopefully you get better soon. Bamani Ambassador Shinji16 wishes all these idiots complaining about Elden Ring and difficulty could try playing 2DX first.
I will never.
4K cats and ferrets.
Ah,
wow.
That fucking rules. I'm so happy by this. Thank you. Thank you, Podlord. Veervarm. No, guys. I promise Starfield isn't going to be a broken mess. Pete Hines told me himself. 7th gen heroes. quick question. Who the fuck is that guy on the left?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's Clark.
just something about how he looks is like, what Killzone game is he from?
Like, I'm looking and you can kind of see, like, the stuff. I'm fairly certain it's that. And they put... Is that Infamous Man?
Yes. That's Infamous 2.
Yeah, of course,
they had to combine both of our streaming engagements.
I feel like that we should have had... Uh-huh. Like, it just should have Resistance Man. Nathan Hale should be in here. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That plus a wig.
Nathan Hale?
Nathan Hale. Yeah, Nathan Hale, one of the most famous 7th gen games. The Superman. Lane's World 25. The Hard M. And Sarlene. Thank you very much to our Podlords.
Thank you, Podlords.
Thank you, Podlords.
I love Podlords.
I love Podlords.
And if you'd like to become a Podlord, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get many benefits, such as early access to Chugging Bleach, our anime review podcast, extended armchair dev pitches and gamer premonitions when the format of those shows forces to leave ideas on the cutting room floor, and a Patreon-exclusive show one per month where you get to vote on what good or bad movie we have to watch and talk about. That's patreon.com /GBpodcast. And if you don't have any money, you can always help us by spreading the word. And if you don't have any friends to spread the word to, there aren't enough cameras to catch graffiti. You can tell people that way. Satire parody. Patreon.com/GBpodcast.
Hell yeah.
That is a funny joke you just made.
And nothing else. Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Quick question.
What? Yeah, what?
Do you think the CEO of Terra Onion wears his hair slicked back? Because he's a real fucking piece of shit.
I bet he loves those steaks.
It's, yeah, so unfortunately, we're going to start this week out talking about shitheads in the fucking retro gaming scene. Here's the good news, though. We're gonna try to highlight with the good news first. Crix, creator of the EverDrive, has successfully escaped the Ukraine. They are safe. They escaped with a number of people. It is uncertain how many, but any is like a blessing.
Yeah, it wasn't like, didn't he say he got his family out?
Yeah, he didn't get everyone involved with the EverDrive operation out, unfortunately. But it seems like the people who aren't out yet are safe. And I'm really glad they got out. They made it out to Spain, and Crix made an announcement about this explaining the whole situation. And then Terra Onion, for people who don't know, Terra Onion is a direct competitor to Crix, makes flash drives, and coincidentally is a giant piece of shit.
Coincidentally, when I first moved down here, you were trying to get a Neo Geo that Terra Onion made working, and it just wouldn't.
It would not work for hours.
Yeah, it was literally a nightmare scenario. And you're like, yeah, this is the people that made this product. So this coming out, yeah. I'm like, man, I have had no positive interaction or look at this.
Oh, if you want me to just put a bullet hole in every product I bought from them, they're also the people whose flash cart we use for the Sega CD stream, where it got nowhere near 100% compatibility, like I'm told it's supposed to have. And they're also the people who made the Turbo Graphics thing that crashed when I tried to save Ease on the stream where Vox came down. So already their product was not so good that I would love them forever or anything.
I was so afraid it was going to be the PlayStation fucking 100% compatibility.
These fucking people from the other side of the globe are like, hey, you want some whipping and some fucking sprinkles for that ice cream cone, motherfucker? Because I'm going to make you really dislike me. Because the moment Crix comes out with this announcement, explaining calmly all these things that are horrifying as they try to escape Russia's invasion, Terra Onion on Twitter goes, glad you were safe in Spain. Welcome to socialism. If anyone wonders how he got his green card in Spain, if you buy a house that is more than 500,000 euros, you get the green card without any other requisites. And then people say, what is the point of saying this here and now, you know, pressing them on this? Like, please, you just were a piece of shit. I need you to clarify and backpedal immediately. No. Terra Onion follows, doubles down with, let me clarify, we have been paying all taxes in Spain for years with a dishonest competitor, misspelled, that was doing fake customs, misspelled, declarations while shipping to Europe. That's a millionaire tax fraud and an unfair competition, but people just care about tweets. They delete that tweet, okay? Delete both of those. They make a new tweet. They say, sorry if I have offended, misspelled anyone with my previous tweet. I just wish the best for everyone. Shouldn't have mixed business bussiness with humanity. I am honestly glad everyone is safe. And then someone goes, you don't have to be sorry for displaying empathy and concerns for others, which shows they didn't read the other tweet.
Yeah.
And then and then Terra Onion just follows up to that person specifically going, I am, but sometimes I also have my bad days. I could blame my wife today, but it's my fault. I am such an idiot. What the fuck?
I'm learning a little bit too much about this guy.
It's just like, holy shit, how bad can this get? And then people go, hey, yo, they're also saying this on their own Discord, which people are leaving in flocks. And the thing they said on their own Discord is, you can beat socialism with 500k euros and tell the stories about how you suffered in war so people think you are a hero. Fuck this guy. I am never buying another Terra Onion product again. It was bad enough when your shit just didn't work and then you did this. Go fuck yourself. Jesus. I just... It's not every day that a total piece of shit in the retro gaming hardware community just outs themselves.
Just unmasks.
Unmasks. Fully. And they're now 14 stories tall, so everyone sees it.
Right.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm glad Crix got out. I had been worrying about Crix since all of this started because, to me, they're one of the only people I know of in the Ukraine. So they were instantly the first person I specifically was concerned with. So I'm glad they made it out. I'm glad they're safe. Fuck the hair on you. Jesus H. Christ. I can't believe someone's going to be such a jilted, thin-skinned piece of shit that they removed themselves as a competitor from an already scarce scene. Because, let's be fair, more competition is better, right?
Right.
They all push each other and improve. In fact, very specifically, that flash cart that has the Sega CD stuff in it pushed Crix to figure out a Sega CD core for their Genesis's EverDrive Pro. So it's like they were working, you know, competition works.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, I have to go and do shit like this. We're going to keep with the downbeat on news. Feel, go from the top.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. So the director of Perfect Dark has left Microsoft.
Okay, that's just one guy.
Half of the core development team of Perfect Dark has left Microsoft over the past year.
That's just like 30 guys.
You didn't write how bad it is, where it's like, here's the list of people that left the level designer, and it just goes
nonstop.
It's literally every super hyper important role, and I'm like, what's happening?
Dude, it's every lead in every department. Some of the departments, they didn't even have a lead left.
I was listening to a podcast detailing this, and I went, they keep reading names.
Yeah, no, it's nonstop. It's ceaseless. It's unbelievably bad. You could never have assumed an Exodus this hardcore would have happened over the course of 1 year. But it happened. And instigated by the Crystal Dynamics shit.
Yes. Staffer apparently were saying like Microsoft didn't give a shit about us at all. We had like, we were just left to drown. It was like, we don't care. We don't care when you ship or what you do or anything. goodbye.
That's so weird for a company that's making their quadruple A game. You'd think there'd be any sort of direction.
Bob, are you saying a gross excess and lack of oversight is unexpected for you in an American mega corporation?
No, I'm just saying it's disappointing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
From what's being reported, Crystal Dynamics probably rebooted the game, meaning all that time in development was nothing. That trailer we saw at the VGAs in 2020 was based on nothing and is nothing and was never anything.
Cool.
The expose talks about Microsoft's like philosophy a little bit, and it seems to be that they just want to spend until Insomniac or Naughty Dog comes out of the ether.
Like they just throw enough money and they think they, yeah, that's Microsoft. That's an American corporation. They threw money at the problem. That worked for Stadia, right?
Three for three worked,
so,
right?
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it was immediately after that first Xbox Series reveal, where I think it was me said Microsoft has lost the right to show us CG trailers.
Yeah.
So about that.
Yeah.
About that. Once again, they have shown us a CG trailer that is based on nothing, was never based on anything, and after they showed it to us, the game was rebooted.
Yeah, the game is basically canceled. Like that game.
Yeah, that There's game no, is canceled. Right. None of that work exists anymore. None of those people are there anymore.
Yeah.
Like, this is the worst it has been with Microsoft. Because how many years did they sink into this? Five?
Yeah, four? The people on staff last year were like, we've been working on this game for years. Which made me think there was some sort of slice.
That's... what's up, Bob?
Were you saying that a lot of them just went back to Sony after this?
I mean, a number of people over of the did. Years did go back to Sony. I mean, the lead on Wolverine.
Yeah, I know he did.
Yeah, there are a number of people who just went to like Sony and other companies after this just is not going well. It's insane.
I remember people were hyping up this developer before they revealed the game, because it was like, this is the secret one we don't know anything about. They say quadruple A. They poached a bunch of people from all kinds of major AAA games, whether it's a Ubisoft or a Sony or everything. I think all of them have already left.
Yeah.
So it's like this thing that was being hyped up by people as an all-star team is just dead.
it seemed like, and this also included that, like, Xbox's leadership team are very patient with people making their titles like a Playground and Rare, making Fable and Everwild, which seems to just be, there's no roadmap for any of this. So, like, there's no guarantee we'll ever see those ever.
Well, yeah, and in the case of Everwild, I think Microsoft had insane, what's the term, assertions about what the game should be about, because people would add mechanics and it'd be like, oh, that's too violent. That doesn't match up with the CG trailer. Like, I remember that being an anecdote that came out since then. Of just like, yeah, people finally made a mechanic.
Yeah, they're like, the lead on it was like, no, you're not going to fight in this game at all.
Yeah, it's like,
what do you mean?
Way to organically.
What is the game then?
Yeah, it's like, maybe let the game get made and figure out what it is from the game being made. I don't know. At least at the end of the day, a game would be made. This is nuts. This means we'll be lucky if this game comes out on the Xbox Series X.
Yeah.
As the new console.
Right.
And it was only announced a year after a year of it being out. Of the system being out.
So, what, like, I don't want to just pound on Microsoft yet again.
Yeah.
But, like, what are the two Microsoft franchises that have been most successful? That I don't think anybody would argue that they're not Halo and Gears.
Yeah. Yeah, grand scheme of things, absolutely.
Halo, Microsoft bought when it was almost done, and then in every subsequent Halo game, somebody had to threaten to fucking quit to keep Microsoft from ruining it.
Mm-hmm.
Then Gears was good because Tim Sweeney was like, you need to fucking double the fucking RAM in the 360 right fucking now.
Yeah.
And both of, it's just like, it just seems like Microsoft has the touch of death.
Yeah, I wish there was one super positive long-term relationship. The closest we get is Playground Games with Forza Horizon.
Right.
That's the closest we get. And because Turn 10's already entered the death spin, in my opinion, with the fact we haven't gotten a Forza game in 5 years. They won't put a number on the new one. They haven't spoken about it since almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's just gone and weirdly silent.
And when they spoke about it, they seemed really vague on what was the idea. Yeah. Because here's the thing, like, what happened with Fable, because a lot of people don't realize, Microsoft, after Fable 3, basically said to Lionhead, you've made the best one of these you can. We're not going to greenlight any more normal Fable games. You need to innovate. Now, admittedly, some of that was Molyneux was over them. Ugh. Apparently, they let Molyneux over all of Europe, so he was also over Rare.
Yeah, the worst piece of information ever heard.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, Molyneux was over Microsoft Europe for a few years there as like their guy who kept in contact with the studios.
That guy sucks so bad.
Yeah, he's the worst.
But I'm just thinking about, you know, we had this stuff of like Inafune was causing horrible problems being over so much of Capcom stuff. Mm-hmm. And he left and things got better.
Yes.
Molyneux leaving didn't make anything better.
No, it didn't fix shit, actually. Rare still hasn't really made a game since.
Every single executive at Microsoft can't leave. That's not going to happen.
Right?
Yeah, I wish we saw an improvement, and I wish there was a studio I could point at and be like, they just keep turning out bangers. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's so hard to be positive on this stuff. I mean, stuff like this keeps happening.
I mean,
like,
I think it was, I don't know if it was January or February. I think it was late February. KZ and I are just hanging out, and the conversation comes up of what is Microsoft shipping this year? And we're like,
yeah,
a Bethesda game and another Bethesda game.
Yeah, because you were telling me Starfield is the only one they had. And then my brain was... remembered that Redfall is scheduled for the summer.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh yeah, that's another Bethesda game. They shipped a half finished Halo in November. They will now sleep for the following year.
Yeah, it's really weird. They forgot to greenlight games for about 4 years there, and somehow through all of this, Phil Spencer is seen as a really positive effort at Microsoft. And I'm like, I don't see it.
Even the stuff they did greenlight is just dead. Like, they greenlit Perfect Dark.
I mean, sure, they greenlit Perfect Dark. Sure. But, like, I feel like at the end of the day, they can absolutely be doing the thing they were doing through the 360 era, especially the first half of it, where they greenlit a lot of third-party games and made it second-party titles, right?
Well, they don't want to do that anymore. They want to buy those studios.
Yeah, like,
which is why they have no games.
Right.
The only games they have are Bethesda games. Because they're
mission accomplished.
Their internal studios aren't making anything, and they're now just dependent on projects that are already in motion.
It's okay. They also have Ghostwire coming out for PlayStation.
That's true. I will be playing that soon.
That's good.
Let's move on from the dark times. The first Elden Ring clone has been announced. Flintlock Siege of Dawn by the developers of Dark Souls clone Ashen.
I've never even heard of that.
It was just announced. There isn't anything really to it. I just saw this game's announced, and I'm like, they made a Dark Souls clone. This game also looks like kind of like Dark Souls from what they showed. So I guess it's the first Elden Ring clone, which makes sense. Like, obviously, God, please don't let there be like a decade of Elden Ring clones. I can't fucking deal with that.
It's okay. We got one decade of Dark Souls clones and then another decade of Elden Ring.
Can you imagine Ubisoft trying to make Elden Ring?
Yeah.
Because they kind of tried to make Breath of the Wild with a bad title,
Immortals
Rising.
Phoenix Rising.
Maybe China will make a good one, like with Genshin happening.
Yeah.
We'll just get one of those in a few years and be like, oh, that's neat.
You know, I was thinking about, you went down the Ubisoft hole, I went down the Elden Ring, but it's the Surge hole, where it's like,
I want to see that company try, because it would just fall apart in every way.
Yeah, I would like to see. The Surge 2 of what I played is markedly better, but also seemingly is written worse, which... There was almost nothing in the first one. I don't know how you manage this.
Fuck J.K. Rowling. Yeah. That's the next piece of news. I just put it in there because they did a state of play on that Harry Potter game. I feel like completely divorcing, you know, fuck J.K. Rowling from this game, which you can't really do, but I'm going to do it for the purpose of like intellectual discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know what fucking kind of game this is. Like, they didn't really show me.
Well,
they showed me a bunch of stuff in the game.
It's a game with literally everything.
Yes.
Yeah, they showed every conceivable mechanic of like making potions, and you have a base you upgrade and you raise animals and you do battle and there's like RPG elements, but I'm like, I don't know how they work together because you didn't show me a cogent chunk of the game at any point.
Maybe you weren't paying attention at the part where they go, here's Milo. Milo's going to be a child you talk to. Milo's sad. Let's find out what's wrong with him.
He's a Hufflepuff.
I like even just showing one fight encounter from start to finish would have given us anything.
It would have been just doing the Leviosa and slamming them into the ground several times.
I'm gonna be honest.
Okay,
that was selling me on it. The amount of ragdolling juggles they were doing, I'm like, this seems like a video game.
The plot of this game involves a goblin uprising.
Very cool.
I no longer believe them when they said J.K. Rowling wasn't involved with this game.
What? You just need to do some ethnic cleansing. Come on.
Hey, she has no involvement, but the writer of this game agrees.
That's a weird PR statement to put out.
Allegedly, satire, allegedly.
Let's escape.
Okay.
Microsoft is testing putting ads into Windows Explorer on Windows 11 because they're psychotic.
Windows Explorer?
Actually, you want to know what's funny?
Death.
You know what I know what's funny?
What's funny, Dan?
They're claiming it's a mistake because people set them on fire.
They're like, guys, we didn't mean that being insider testing. We were just testing that behind the scenes. And I go, okay, so the gun's not already loaded, but... You have a gun.
We didn't mean to do that. We didn't mean to try and double the price of Xbox Live Gold.
How the fuck did this happen? I forgot about that already.
Yep.
People think I've memorized everything to give Microsoft shit. I completely forgot about that shit. When the hell was that?
That was like a year and a half ago.
That feels like an eternity
ago.
Yeah,
a year and a half ago.
Jesus Christ.
It's COVID years, man.
Yeah, remember they did it, and then they're like, "We'll roll it back." Also, games that free to play games won't be covered by gold now. And people were like, "Man, they're heroes."
Yeah, that was the funniest part.
They're heroes by making it cost twice as much.
So yeah,
you can still buy. You can still buy your cards on eBay for the same price. Those will exist forever, right?
Forever, yeah. Absolutely. Very smart. You have so much foresight. Yeah, they wanted to insert ads into Windows Explorer, like at the top of the window.
What?
So it has like the address you are in the fucking computer, and then it has an ad above that.
What?
That's what they want to do in Windows 11. That's the thing they accidentally activated and went, oopsie, that wasn't supposed to do that.
Please be surprised next year when we do it.
So when people immediately go, guys, it's okay, you can just do this to disable it, and I'm like, hey, that's not okay.
How about you suck my dick?
Yeah, I shouldn't have to fucking fix them from getting their way with me. Yeah, okay?
Guys, if you don't want them to walk into your house and start shoving you around, just lock the door.
It's okay.
I don't see what the problem
is. Just line the floor with salt. They can't cross
it. Don't worry about it. I have no problem. I'm buying a Mac.
Yeah, as I said, the Apple apocalypse clock moves 5 minutes closer to midnight.
Apple needs a version of Proton. It would make it over.
Yeah, I don't understand why Apple/Steam aren't really working with each other there, because the M1 stuff's really powerful.
They just did this handshake.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of Microsoft, like everyone would evacuate. Like, there's so many people that would be like, I don't need to deal with Windows anymore. Thank you, and never come back.
Because here's the thing. Here's the problem, because this is what I'm learning over the course of my 30s.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to get better.
No. It's only getting worse.
With these corporations, in this way, it is only getting worse. Yes. I'm not talking about life in general. Life in general is fine. No, absolutely not.
Microsoft will persist and always make the worst decisions possible.
As bad as they can get away with.
Yes.
So honestly impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it really sucks to sit here and be like, man, it would be great if Apple did better. It'd be great if Steam brought shit to Apple. It'd be great if Linux was a more palatable OS, because I am just ready to leave Windows.
Fair.
That fucking 6 months where they kept breaking our audio for doing podcasts every day.
I know.
Every week.
I remember it, where we couldn't start for hours.
Yeah. I'm never forgiving them, just to be clear.
Neither am I.
Because I'm not going to get that time back.
No.
God. Bastards. Man, all of Phil's news is bad. Okay, go on, Phil.
They're making another two fucking FLCL sequels. Fuck you, you will be boiled.
Two?
Yeah, two.
Yeah, most people didn't notice it's two new seasons. They have different subtitles.
What is wrong with them over there?
That's great. So there will effectively now be five seasons of this thing?
Every time I go into the replies to this and see people defending it, I'm just like, what is wrong with you?
Oh, they're contrarians on Twitter. They're not going to watch
it. They're contrarian.
Yeah.
No one's going to fucking...
It's like, you can go back and watch the original. It's like, yeah, you can. I'm upset that they're making this because it's completely against the creator's will.
No.
How do you not understand that?
No, it's fine. We are ruining good art by bringing it out again and again and then slapping a McDonald's logo on it. It's very cool. Do you know the subtitles of these, Bob?
I know one's grunge. What's the other?
Fooly Cooly Grunge and Fooly Cooly Shoegaze.
What?
All one word. Shoegaze.
Yeah, that's a genre of music.
Oh, is it? I was like, I thought this was supposed to be a music genre. What?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Fooly Cooly Vaporwave.
This is going to be so fucking bad. And like, I see people like, well, this looks fun. Like, they didn't show anything. They showed something from the original recreated in their new style to try and trick your brain.
Yeah.
And thinking they showed you something. And it worked because you're fucking stupid.
Yeah, I really hate the chokehold that DeMarco, the guy who runs the stuff over there, mm-hmm. has on
Boiled.
This. has on this, where this is like the Toonami block is celebrating 25 years,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, we got some exciting stuff that's happening. This is before that got announced,
mm-hmm.
and I go, This was never on that block. It was on like adult. It was on Adult Swim after you got rid of this block. So I really don't. This really is just a thinly veiled thing.
I think it's from the period when there was both. But yeah,
yeah, it was still like this thing of like, come on.
Yeah. For people who aren't following the stuff here, Jason DeMarco is responsible for all four additional series of Fooly Cooly.
Yeah, because they just commissioned that stuff to happen, kind of like when they made IGPX.
Mm-hmm. And Big O Season 2.
Yeah, I saw people going, this is bullshit. They should have just given us another season of Big O.
You know what? That honestly, it would have looked like that ass, but...
Yeah, I'll never really say no to Big O.
That has more value than fucking...
anything has more value than more
episodes. It's like some the reason asshole, they keep okay, going. Here's the perfect analogy. It's like some fucking asshole went, you know, we own the rights to this one Wes Anderson film. We should make four sequels.
Yes. Yeah. It's also that they have a relationship with Production IG because they also made that fucking Pirate Princess thing that was an Adult Swim show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they've had that relationship with IGPX and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like, well, they own FLCL because of Evil, so, yep. and FLCL is attached to us, so I guess we can just keep having them make that forever.
So, you want to know something?
And like, I...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, what I was going to say is, here's something that's been driving me insane, okay? They announced who's making each season. So there's Grunge and there's Shoegaze.
Yeah.
Shoegaze is being made by a nut... And Production IG.
Nut worked on one of the fucking sequels. So here, I forget which
here's
one.
The thing that's driving me absolutely fucking insane, okay?
Uh-huh.
The other one's being made by Mont Blanc Pictures. Does anyone know anything made by Mont Blanc Pictures?
No.
That's the one they teased, right? Where she looks like she's in the Esurance commercials from the aughts.
Yes.
Yeah. So is it like French or something?
No, it's
their website's in Japanese. Okay. All of their stuff CG.
But let's see. Our works.
I don't see.
Oh yeah, that looked like CG. I have to assume it.
Oh yeah, it is CG. It looks fucking terrible.
I tried to not really give it a good look. I just woke up, saw it, and went, Dan shouldn't wake up.
I woke up and I said, you know, if I'm supposed to fucking wake up every day, why do I not get rewarded for it?
We dodged Cowboy Bebop, and now we have to deal with this. Not fair.
It looks like they've never done a show before, so I'm willing to bet this is going to look real bad when they have to scale up from short 3-minute things to an actual show.
Yeah, it looks like they do a lot of commercial work and short vignette things.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ. So yeah, that was the thing that floored me. On top of them announcing this, on top of them being like, we're doing two seasons. No, we will not let it go.
I don't get it. Mm-hmm. The last one caused nothing but anger. There's no way it even got good ratings.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't matter anymore, Bob. We're in the streaming war era.
They don't even stream stuff.
It'll get put on some kind of streaming thing later, so it doesn't matter. Just more money, more money, more money.
No, this dude's just a psychopath, and he just wants more.
I sit there and I wonder if, like, one, if they just give up their catalog to something like an HBO Max by the time they finish this, you know?
I mean, they might. There's already other Adult Swim stuff on HBO Max, so it wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah.
Right. And two, it's like this... You guys need to understand, okay?
Mm.
Not every YouTuber around is psychotic enough to watch seasons 4 and 5 of Fooly Cooly. 2 and 3, only some of us were stupid enough to go in there. They won't even see ironic attention that'll remotely make this financially prudent. What are they doing?
What really set me off is like, not set me off, but like made me think, is I looked all through the fucking replies and quote tweets of this announcement. And it was like, I could count how many responses were anything like, good, I liked those other two things. This, I'm excited. I could count those replies on one hand out of thousands and thousands.
Yeah, and most of the people who are positive at all weren't like, oh, those other ones were good. They're like, Fooly Cooly fans are so entitled and terrible. That was it. That was all they would say. And I was like, that's not...
you can't sit there and be like, this looks great because I hate other people. That's not how that works.
You can do that all the time, I've heard.
Well, you see, marketing psychopaths, none of whom deserve human rights, figured out that if you frame your product somewhere within the fucking stupid cultural space of, if you like this, you're owning someone.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what dog shit you produce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in fact, there is a whole genre of internet contrarians who are like, this corporate slop is based because it makes the entitled fans like, their whole personality is defined by liking whatever thing everybody else has obviously realized is dog shit. Like the people who went to bat for Cowboy Bebop Netflix and wrote articles like, sometimes you have to watch something bad to see what good things you can find in it. And I'm like, you're insane.
I'm like, yeah, I do that all the time. That doesn't make those bad things I watched good. You realize that, right? Like, I all the time watch things and I'm like, I really like this element. I do not think it is good. Yeah, I don't know. I hate this modern era. I hate this modern era of these people who are annoying like things. So when they're upset, this must be good thing.
There's a mobile game called Ark Knights.
I thought it was Spiral Knights. I was so confused.
it's like a tower defense type strategy gotcha game.
Mm-hmm.
Where everybody is like an animal person. There's no normal human beings. And it's like you rolled for this golden retriever Skrunko type girl as she goes off and dies in war. They announced a real video game.
Oh, okay.
Called
cool.
Ark Knights Endfield. They literally put up the Twitter account for it today. It looks like a actual video game.
It's got some pretty dope ass looking art here. I'm gonna post.
Yeah, I honestly was like, I had no idea that's how Ark Knights was because all I've heard about it is when random artists I follow are like, "Oh, Ark Knights characters, this is so cool," and I don't know that there's just, oh, apparently it's all about the mode of war.
Yeah. Yeah, it's framed like the framing is that like the protagonist is like the second in command of like a PMC,
okay,
a merc cool. company,
yeah,
and deals with wars. And I think apparently at some point you fight the elder gods.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah,
or are going to fight the or something. And like there's like weird cancer that every single character has.
All right,
but yeah, they announced the real game. I'm really into this new trend of. We made $1 billion with a mobile game, so now we're going to make a real video game.
Yeah, that's a neat thing.
Yeah.
Because we can make money with the real video game, and maybe the real video game will get people to play our mobile game.
Yeah,
which just keeps pumping out money.
Yeah, the pipeline.
I'm really glad we are now at the thing that I said 12 fucking years ago when every dense motherfucker was like, the future of gaming is mobile. Where it's like, no. You use the mobile to get people into your other thing, and then use that to get maybe people into your mobile thing.
Yeah, because
they have both.
They're different complementary experiences.
Oh, you mean we should have an app that works with the game?
No!
No!
I'm going to second screen your experience. Wait a second, I should have said, I'm going to second screen your experience!
I think the GTA 5 had one of those.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did.
Hell yeah.
Fucking DMC, the DMC had one of those. It was a big 2013 thing.
Yeah, it was.
That's all my news.
Okay, cool. We're going to go ahead and move on to Bob. Bob.
Sure. The Quarry was announced. This is a new game from Supermassive, the guys who did, oh my God, Until Dawn. Yeah. Those are the games. Mm-hmm. But it is not in the Dark Picture Chronicles. This is not working with those guys. This is clearly not. Being published by 2K.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Until Dawn again, kind of, but this time we're in a summer camp instead of a winter camp.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. So it's a bunch of teenagers out in a cabin out in the woods after a camp. Summer camp is supposed to have ended, and they're like, we can't leave today. There's something wrong with our car. So we'll leave tomorrow. And then the camp counselor's like, that's unacceptable. We cannot have this. And it's like, okay, well, all you kids stay here. I'm going to go. But no one leaves the cabin.
Hmm.
But yeah, it looks like it's going to be some schlocky horror game. So sure. I'm sure that the fans of those will love this.
Yeah, I'm hoping this is like the step up, because it definitely looks like it's the next step forward compared to all those Bamco joints they're doing for the Dark Picture stuff. Because this is the one where they're like, the website's up, here's our entire cast list that includes Sam Raimi's brother, Ted Raimi.
I was wondering if he was related.
David Arquette from the fucking Scream movies.
But yeah, this is out June 10th, so it's pretty close.
Yeah. I'd probably give this one a try, since it seems like they're going a little harder. They're like, they're using the same like motion capture studio that was used for Thanos and the Avengers movies.
Oh wow.
So they're trying their best to like advance that a little bit more.
That's cool.
Yeah, the painting they have for the artwork for it really gives me 1980s horror movie vibes. It's very cool. I really appreciate it. It just feels like good old movie poster painting.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I'd like something that's as enjoyable as Until Dawn, but shorter, because I feel like that's just a little bit too long, by maybe like an hour or something, where I'm like, I feel like we could get here a little bit faster.
The other piece of news I got is the Street Fighter V is getting an update.
Mm.
They're adding new filters, so there's a cel-shaded mode and a pixel mode.
Oh, good.
They probably look terrible. I have not seen them in person, but that trailer made them look bad.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer, and it's ass!
God, dude, those Final Fantasy Pixel remasters have a TV mode. It looks so bad.
Of course.
It always
does. Of course.
So bad.
They call it classic mode.
God, that's terrible.
New balance updates, because always. It's their thing. New tracksuit colors, which is so funny. It's like, really?
That's so far.
People love the tracksuits.
No, they don't. I don't think so.
I'm lying. Because who could?
When they added a tracksuit for literally every character, I was confused.
Yeah.
Now a new color for the tracksuits. Like, why? Who cares?
Someone cares.
And they're putting in music, new music that was, I think they call it like Capcom Jam or something, that they've been releasing these tracks separately, like is on download services and stuff for the past year or so.
Yeah.
So now they're actually putting them in the game. I was like, that's cool. It's just like remixes they did of some of the more popular Street Fighter tracks.
Oh, all right.
Cool.
That's it for my news.
Okay. We now move to Gezi Gezi.
Okay. EA Motive did another live stream for Dead Space Remake, showing various aspects of the game they're working on. And they revealed they're targeting early 2023 for this.
That seems a little too early for what they showed.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just the direction they're going with the visuals. I don't know.
Maybe.
I have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
And when they posted that one clip, all I've seen from this is that clip they put on Twitter of here's their animations for shooting the guns and the sound effects compared to the original game. I kept watching it over and over, and I was like, wow, this is such a big upgrade. Oh no, I was looking at the old game.
Yeah, because the old game has a lot of contrast and strong light work and other things.
And really, really cool sounds for the guns.
Yeah, and then the new one's orange with no contrast, and it's very strange, very strange, yeah.
You know, I think we've mentioned this before, where like the problem with Japanese publishers is they don't understand that they should sit on a game until it looks relatively done before they show it. Like, we've definitely mentioned that before.
Yeah.
How Western studios usually just don't show it until it's ready to be shown. I feel like EA unlearned that lesson and is now doing this. We're transparent, so we're going to show you everything for everything all the time. Are you ready for weekly Dragon Age 4 updates?
Well, that's because they ran out of games to ship.
Yeah.
They're like, we need to try anything else.
But here's,
no matter how bad the idea.
Here's the thing. Here's you know, we've run into this multiple times. Bob can attest. We check out a game that's in beta. We think there are really obvious things they'll fix, and we're wrong. So this, the way it looks currently, seems like one of those really obvious things they would fix.
Yeah.
And I don't know which way to feel anymore, because I've been wrong enough times on this. Maybe that's the final art style they're going for. Maybe. You know, because they said they posted that and they were trying to show off the sound and not the visuals.
Yeah.
Yeah, the animations also look bad. Like, those were also different and not good looking.
I feel like it would be insane to ship a remake of Dead Space that just looks worse.
Right?
Yeah. When that game's old as hell.
I Yeah, and like you said, with that whole thing of like, we just went through this Stranger Paradise. We saw this game 8 months ago, and we're like, well, surely
the performance
will be fixed, and they'll make it so you can see things. And they didn't do either of those.
No, they give you a brightness slider. You're good.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't know. So I have no idea.
Yeah. I feel like this dev specifically has done a good job the last couple times of at least shipping a thing over at EA. So I'm gonna hope that this looks...
Haven't they only shipped like modes for other games?
They did the Starfighter thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that was entirely them.
I think that's the only thing, but yes, that is entirely them.
Yeah. Yeah, where I'm like, okay, I'll trust that you make it look good. You at least made the Star Wars game look good.
Yeah, Squadrons looks really good.
Yeah, and based on how much they have talked about wanting to get the remake right, I'd like to... I'm gonna
Plus, hope. It's next-gen exclusive.
Yeah.
So you would think.
It is?
Apparently. That's what I'm reading here.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yep, it is next-gen exclusive. PS5, Xbox Series X, and S, and PC.
Yeah, I'm hoping the visuals look better in future showings they do of this. If it's not, then it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. A year isn't a long time, but
it really isn't. We're sitting here like not even a year anymore, because early 2023.
I think they could call any time in Q1 early.
I guess.
So that's why I'm just gonna assume.
Don't worry about it. It's gonna come out fucking 2 weeks after E3 of that following year.
So wait, 2024?
No, just the following year of where we're at. So it's like it's gonna come out. It's not gonna come out early.
It's just gonna be a little bit later. Yeah, I hope it's good.
Yeah, I would like to enjoy playing a Dead Space game. So this is they can take the shot.
I don't.
All right, next bit of news I have. They did another one of those streams for Monster Hunter Rise and the Sunbreak expansion is coming out again, simultaneous launch between Switch and PC for this June 30th.
Nice.
So that's for people playing the PC version, want to get a save up to that and look at how the game moves, which is very nice. And I think there was some sort of like, I was wondering if they do anything with saves with that to PC. That would be nice.
It's happened a couple times.
Yeah,
I thought they announced something like we wanted to, but we just couldn't. Like there was no way.
Oh yeah, I was trying to remember if it was that or it was something else.
Transfer. One moment. Let me see. Yeah, they couldn't figure it out.
Oh, okay. That's
unfortunate. They apologize for not being able to figure that out.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
If it was easy, everyone would do it. Right.
And then in a year we're gonna get the PlayStation version. It's like, yeah, we couldn't figure that out either. And it's like, yeah, no, I figured.
We're like, we expected that.
my final piece of news, EA shows mercy. They put out a statement going, maybe it's too hard to get to give you good looks of our video games on this specific month. We're canceling EA Play.
Maybe they don't have, they have fuck all for the rest of the year and know it and don't want to humiliate themselves.
What if there just isn't even a E3 like thing this year at all? Because you know the EA Play typically happens somewhere around that
okay.
E3 week.
Everybody sit next to Jeff. He's gonna show us the worst thing you've ever seen.
Yep, he's gonna do it 1 week at a time for 12 weeks straight.
Yes. I mean, I have zero doubt that Microsoft would be, you know, hesitant to not... I think Microsoft would be like, hell yes, let's skip. I think Nintendo will do a Direct no matter what.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, I don't think there's any danger
other than
that.
Other than that, I really don't know. Unless, like, we're only just now hitting pandemic tax. And it's like, no, there's just nothing.
It's funny because EA started running out of fuel for their shuttle before we hit the
2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So they've been living out Major Tom for 2 years straight.
There's no way Skate is anywhere approaching being ready to show.
Yeah, no.
Dead Space shouldn't be being shown, but they're doing it. I'm convinced nothing of that new Mass Effect exists outside of paper.
Yeah.
They can't possibly be shipping a Battlefield this year.
God, no. That Star Wars should be happening, though. I think that's the only, the Fallen Order 2. I think that's supposed to be this year.
Yeah, Fallen Order 2 is supposed to come out in the next year.
Man, considering EA's bar for what is worth doing a show for, shit must be rough.
Yeah, I bet that's literally the only game they could show. And they're like, no, maybe we don't even do this event.
Yeah,
because Need for Speed's nowhere near done because just had the guys come back to Criterion and started working on it last year or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were immediately taken off of it to help fix Battlefield 2042.
Good thing that worked.
Oh, yeah, it worked out so well that someone noticed that it had less players than Babylon's Fall on Steam.
Oh, my God, no. You guys. This building is on fire. Quick, everyone go in.
Fuck. How can you be less than zero? I don't understand.
But zero was still something. So in order to delete the whole fan user base, we have to return to nothing.
I'm pretty sure the player count at that time for Battlefield was like 45 or some shit. It wasn't having a good time.
You're telling me Battlefield had a tenth the players of Babylon's Fall?
You couldn't even make a full Battlefield game with that.
I'm so...
Not even one match.
I'm so mad at you,
apparently,
EA. Come
apparently,
on.
Apparently, EA actively said, we're not in an investor call, we're not telling you how much it sold. It sold bad. Which means it must have been disastrous for them to admit
that. Yeah, they had to start spinning. It wasn't going well.
Yeah.
I hope this makes them realize they can't do that to the series anymore.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say, that's not where your head goes. You're not supposed to keep that up your ass.
That's okay. A couple of them are just like, Halo's the reason.
Yeah, of course. Halo killed us. Every single time Battlefield comes out next to anything, even the slightest thing, they're like, it was that killed us. Advanced Warfare killed us. It's like, that didn't even sell that well. What are you talking about?
Yeah, the only thing that didn't kill you was Titanfall 2.
Every time they're picking up a stick and throwing it into the tire, but this time they threw it into the tire and it was Halo. So it's rubber and the bike keeps going and then they look up and it's a cliff.
Phil Spencer's in the car.
Yeah, it was fucking, it was Halo.
God, stop fucking up Battlefield, for the love of Christ.
I'm sorry, EA's having some trouble.
Just make 4 again.
No.
That was fine. That was the absolute threshold. Just make 4 again.
No.
Damn it.
That's unacceptable.
I mean, to be fair, why would they make 4 again? Those players are still there. I bet there are more people playing Battlefield 4 right now. Of course, I don't think Battlefield 4 was ever sold on Steam.
Oh yeah.
Aw, oh, damn it.
Yeah, that's from the we still think we can have Origin.
Oh my God.
What?
Oh my God.
No.
What's the name of the new Battlefield?
2042.
Oh my God. We're gonna do it. We're gonna have people guess. Okay. We're gonna go with 24-hour peak. Which one will be higher? Which one will be lower? 2042 or Battlefield 4? 24-hour peak on Steam. I do have Steam charts for Battlefield 4, just to be clear.
Yeah, Battlefield 4, of course.
Okay, KZ.
2042, it's only 4 months old, right?
Feel.
I'm going to say whatever one's older, whatever one isn't 2042.
Okay, Battlefield 4 has... Battlefield 4 only has 130 fewer players. It has 2380, 2042 has 2511. It is only like, how many percent is that? One fucking second. I am losing it. What in Christ's name? How are you just barely beating a PS4 launch title? What is that? How do you do that? How do you fuck up that bad?
Real good back and forth between these two competitors.
So just to be clear, right?
Yeah.
That means the whole new Battlefield game they developed, the one that just came out, has 5% more players than the one they launched forever ago.
Almost 10 years ago?
The one that was, as of last year, it was 8 years ago. So yeah. 8 years ago.
Wow.
In November. They are able to beat it by 5%. You fucking idiots.
Well, yeah, they got the scoreboard in that one.
Yeah.
It really feels like that
Activision and EA, and also Ubisoft, but Ubisoft is further back on this progression, this decay, than those two companies, where it's like, things are falling apart, but people seem not to care, and we're still making money, so let's not fix anything. Oh shit, we crossed the line where now people do care, and we're too far gone to start fixing things.
I think it's weird, because Activision's goal was clearly to be bought, for whatever insane reason. I don't think EA has that ambition. I think they're just, like, rotting,
well,
and they don't know why.
Well, they were just doing what Activision was doing.
Activision seems like they had a nefarious plan. It does seem like they were just heading towards a corporate buyout to some degree. They were trying to get their money and get out before the building collapsed. I don't know what EA's plan is. I think they're just impersonating their older brother.
Yeah, like Phil just said, like, yeah, they just were doing the same thing, yeah. Even though it made no sense and they didn't know the full plan.
Right? They were like, and then this is the part where we jump, and they go, I didn't bring a parachute. Anyways, that's the news. We're free. I'm glad they canceled EA Play.
Yes.
The last thing I want is an event to be disappointed in my son.
Yes.
But they could have had a... Oh my God, I forgot his name. The guy who said they just death starred his brain.
Greg Miller.
They could have had him come out again. We'd get lots of horrible things for him to say.
You just death starred my mind, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, over the next week, Bob and I are beating at least God of War 3. Maybe the PSP once, I don't know. We're doing Pokemon Days, continuing our playthrough of Leaf Green. Bob's going to doodle some nightmares. And maybe someday I'll let someone make me draw something. I don't know.
Maybe I'll learn animal anatomy at some point.
Bob's like, I've never drawn a fox before, I'm realizing. We're all like, uh-oh. KZ, what do you have going on in the next week?
I'll be streaming more Stranger of Paradise as I go through that. I was trying to remember when Ghostwire comes out. That comes out this next week in some early form or something.
Yes, that should be this next week.
Yeah, so I'll probably try that because I'm interested in seeing what, before the gameplay was revealed, P. Hines tried to say that it was just like Doom.
That's desperate. It is clearly not.
and at the time, we're like, what the fuck? What? And I'm like, oh, it's first person. That's the only thing I can glean.
Pete, come on.
What is this, 1996?
Look, we're going to boot it up and it just listen to the Doom mod.
Dude, it would fucking rule if that game booted into a Doom mod.
It would rule if there were Doom Eternal mods.
That would be, oh, man.
God, hey, John Romero, when's your new Doom 2 WOD coming out?
I thought he released one.
Can I brush your hair? No, he released a Doom 1 WOD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's doing another one.
That's what Sigil was, and he's doing one for Doom 2.
Well, Theo, what do you got going on the next week?
Work.
Okay.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Big Think Dimension. If you would like to support us, head on over to www.patreon.com/GBpodcast, where you can get extra podcasts and early access to our anime podcast, Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool. Head on over there and become a $5 backer or podlord today.